Listener-supported non-commercial radio from the campus of Henry Ford College. You're tuned to WHFR Dearborn. Welcome to another Tuesday Radio Vault Time. And what, you may ask, do I have up my sleeve today? First you said you would, now you say you won't. Well, we're gonna be taking a listen to a cornucopia of comedy shows. We'll kick it off in a moment with Ozzie and Harriet, and this is the episode where Ozzie thinks they're having too many luxuries. This is a show from the Armed Forces Radio Service, AFRS. And if you listen to this program any length of time, you know that Armed Forces Radio shows are the same as the domestic version, except for one thing. No commercials. How about that? Just perfect for us. And then we're going to launch into some great Gildersleeve. We're going to be taking a listen to that 1953 episode, Leroy, the Electrical Wizard. And that's, I believe, with Willard Waterman. And then we move a little bit back in time to the period when Harold Perry was still playing the lead role of the Great Gildersleeve. We will hear the 1948 episode of where Gildersleeve tries to reform a welfare investment. That should be an interesting program. So stick around for that. Hour number three, we have on tap the 1947 episode of Margie from the Lux Radio Theater. And as you may know, if you've listened again to this program for any period of time, Lux Theater is one of the shows that took feature films and they turned them into one-hour radio plays, one-hour radio scripts. So we'll be hearing Margie from September of 1947 during our third hour of today's Radio Vault. Background sounds kicking off as usual is, not maybe as usual, but Mud Puppy, Paul Randolph, Mark Pazman, and the whole group of them from more than 20 years ago from the Venture Records label, based right here in Dearborn. And that, of course, is Paul Randolph on lead vocal and bass. Well, I think we're ready for what you've tuned in for. I'm sure we are, as a matter of fact. So we go back to 1944. Ozzie and Harriet with a very long run, both on radio and television, all the way up through the 1960s. This show from 1944. Let's listen, shall we? Let's really try to listen.
The Adventures of Ozzie and Harriet, presenting America's favorite young couple, Ozzie Nelson and Harriet Hilton. And now let's see what's going on in the Nelson family.
Oh, good morning, everybody.
Good morning, Mom.
Ah, something sure smells good.
I guess breakfast's just about ready. David, you got your T-shirt on backwards.
Yes, ma'am.
Ricky, pull your shirt collar out from under your sweater.
Yes, ma'am.
What's the matter with you fellas? Don't you have time to dress?
Ozzie, your shirt's out and back.
And
last, they all sit down at the table with bright, shiny faces, with the exception of Harriet's, which is bright but not shiny. David opens the conversation.
Did you sleep well last night, Pa?
Yes. Fine, thank you, David.
How are you feeling this morning?
Oh, fine, thank you, son.
Then I'd like to have 65 cents to go to the movies, okay? Gee, thanks.
Just a minute, not so fast. Anyway, I happen to know that seats for children are 50 cents.
Not the loges.
The loges? You mean to tell me you have to sit in the loges?
We don't have to, but we like to. The seats are softer, and our sitters don't get so tired of sitting.
Seems to me you kids are getting pretty soft. Imagine that, Harriet, loge seats. Pure luxury.
Of course, if we can't get low seats at the movies, you won't go.
Well, that's because I don't like to sit on the side and look at Lana Turner from an angle. It makes her have one eye lower than the other. I said something? Well, it's not fair to Lana or to me.
How about it, Pop?
No, I'm sorry, boys, but I won't pay for luxuries like that. When you get old enough to make your own living and you work for your own money, then you can have luxury. Until then, nothing doing. If you want low seats, you'll have to take the extra 15 cents out of your allowance.
But that's just it, Pop. We both need a bigger allowance. What do you say, Pop?
David, when I was your age...
Oh, Pop, not one of those stories. Now, David, if you want to get a raise, you've got to listen to your father's story.
Well, it's not compulsory, Harriet.
Ozzie, don't be so sensitive. Well, tell me all about when you were a boy, Pop.
I'm out of the mood. But I do think it's time both of you boys learned to appreciate the value of money. Now, when I was your age...
He's back in the mood again.
Harriet, please. You boys know what my allowance was when I was your age?
Whose age, Pop? Mine and Ricky's.
When I was Ricky's age, I didn't even get an allowance. When I was your age, David, I got 15 cents a week. 15 cents. And I managed on it very nicely. Do you know how?
You stole?
No, Ricky, I was careful, because I respected the value of money.
Well, dear, I just think the boys reflect the trend of our time. Come to think of it, there's an item or two I need, and I'll have to have a little extra money, too.
Harriet, haven't we been spending quite a bit lately?
I suppose we have, dear, but the way prices are going up...
Well, can't we cut down just a little?
Of course. I need shoes.
Well, naturally.
The new handbag and accessories.
I suppose the bag has to match the shoes.
Well, it's nicer if it does.
And more expensive. Honestly, I don't know what you women put in handbags you couldn't get into a paper sack.
Oh, Ozzy, quit kidding. It's not as though we're wasting money on luxuries.
That's just it. A lot of things we think of as necessities we should consider luxuries. We could start doing without a few things. How about you boys cutting down on sodas?
Sure, Pop. I will if you will.
David, I have cut down.
I suppose they could cut out buying comic books.
Yes. Well, not until after the next Buck Rogers episode.
What do you think, Ricky?
I don't know. What's a luxury?
A luxury? A luxury is,
luxuries are things we don't need and can't do without.
Yeah, I suppose that's as good a definition as any. As a matter of fact, that's a good way to test yourself. Next time you want to buy something, say to yourself, do I need this? Do I really need this? You can apply the test to loges.
Do I need loges? Do I really need loges?
Well, David?
Yep.
What makes you think you do, David?
Those Saturday matinees, Pop. 3 features, 4 serials, the news, and Bugs Bunny.
What about the kids who don't sit in the loges?
Most of the time, they run up and down the aisle.
Well, maybe the exercise will do you good.
Where are you going?
Right over here. I happen to have a book of quotations here. It might be interesting to see what some of the great men have said about luxury. Luxury.
Never mind, dear. We know what you mean.
Here we are. Now, listen to what Voltaire says about luxury. People have declaimed against luxury for 2,000 years in verse and in prose. And people have always delighted in it. Oh, no. Listen to what Samuel Johnson says about luxuries. No nation was ever hurt by luxury for it can reach but a very... listen to what Oliver Wendell Holmes says about luxury. Give us the luxuries of life and we will dispense with its necessities. Well, never mind. Listen to what I say about luxury. I say they're no good.
You want me to destroy that quotation book, dear?
Well, that's right. Laugh at me. But I mean this. Our family's getting soft, and it shouldn't. After all, who built this country up?
Well?
I'll answer, David. The pioneers built it, and they were simple, hardworking men who never wanted any luxuries. They're the men who made our country great.
Doesn't sound like much fun.
I think that from now on we should decide to do without those unnecessary luxuries. Pattern our lives after those early pioneers.
Did the pioneers eat breakfast, dear?
Naturally.
Thank goodness. Gloria! Oh, Gloria!
Did you call me, Mrs. Nelson?
Yes, I did, Gloria. We're more than ready for breakfast.
Do I smell pancakes, Gloria?
That's right.
I thought so. Boy, they smell good.
I'll have some pancakes, please, Gloria.
Me too. I'll have a double order. I'm hungry.
Pancakes.
Would you like something a little more rugged and down-to-earth, dear?
As a matter of fact, I would.
What would you like, Mr. Nelson?
Gloria, I'll have some gruel.
Gruel?
Yes, gruel. Every good American knows what gruel is.
All you do, Gloria, is mix a batch of oatmeal until it's good and soggy, and then you beat it into a thick paste.
Is that gruel?
Yes.
I'll have some pancakes. With no syrup and very little butter.
Yes, sir.
Don't look so bewildered, Gloria. Mr. Nelson's on a rugged, thrifty pioneer kick this morning.
Well, a simple life would do you a lot of good, too, Gloria. I notice you go in for a lot of little extravagances. Take that rhinestone pin you're wearing on your apron. Wouldn't you be just as happy without it?
Yes, sir, but my skirt would fall down.
Well, the point I'm making is that we all spend money on things that we really don't need, and as a result, we don't save enough. Now, do you save any money, Gloria?
Well, I once had $75 saved up in quarters and halves. But you know something? I didn't get a good night's sleep once while I had that money. I used to just toss and turn.
You mean you'd lie awake worrying about it?
No, ma'am, but $75 in quarters and halves makes a mattress pretty lumpy. Now, I better get back to those pancakes or we won't have any.
See, if you learn to resist temptation now, David, it'll be a big asset to you in later years.
Yes, sir.
After all, it's just as important to develop your willpower as it is to develop your muscles.
Yes, sir. Oh, boy, look at that.
What's that, David?
In the window of the camera store. It's one of those new speed cameras.
Oh, that's a beauty, isn't it? Boy, would I like... David?
Yes, Pop?
Now, here is a perfect example of what we were talking about. Now, there's a very desirable thing, that camera, right?
Yes, sir.
I look at it, and I feel a temptation to buy it. But I realize it would be an extravagance. It would be wrong to buy it. Even with its telescopic lens and its built-in range finder.
Pop, you're drooling a little.
Nonsense. As I was saying, I conquer the temptation to buy that camera. And as a reward, I walk away from here with a feeling of deep satisfaction.
Wouldn't you rather walk away with the camera?
No, it's a sinful luxury. Why, it probably costs hundreds of dollars.
No, it doesn't. I can see the price tag. Let's see it.
I tell myself I can be happy without it, and I walk away from this window and forget about the camera.
Well, Pop, are you coming?
My goodness, is that all it costs?
Pop, I've got to get down to the 5 and 10, or I won't get home in time to go to the movies. I'll see you later. So long, Pop.
So long, camera. It's David. There must be something wrong with it. Should cost more than that. Oh, I'm sure. Must be something. Couldn't have a camera.
Hello, Mr. Nelson. You were looking at that camera, weren't you?
I was just wondering if there's anything wrong with it. I mean, I thought those kind were very expensive.
Confidentially, they'll be double the price next week. They just came in this morning, and we only have 2 left.
Oh.
Let me show it to you.
Oh, well, thank you. I don't want to buy it. Not today, anyway.
Who's trying to sell it?
Oh,
I just want to get your opinion on it.
Oh, but
I've
really,
asked a few professionals about it, but I want the opinion of an amateur who can really take fine pictures.
Well, honestly,
now,
I
here
don't
it is,
think...
Mr. Nelson. I want you to tell me if you think a camera like this is too complicated for an amateur who demands the very finest.
Well,
it's been completely simplified so any idiot can take pictures with it. Intelligent persons, too. Notice this handy little gadget.
Oh, yes.
Oh, it's a pleasure to watch you handle it, Mr. Nelson. You've got the smooth touch of an expert.
Oh, no,
I... Mr. Nelson, please. Every time your negatives come in here, my men fight for the privilege of working with them.
Really,
Mr. Nelson, I would consider it a personal favor to me if you'd take this camera home, look it over thoroughly, take a few pictures with it, and give me your honest opinion of it.
Oh, I really
don't feel...
It's
so compact. Say, you want to be surprised? Here, tuck it under your arm. Isn't it a light?
Yes, yes,
take a few steps with it. Yes. No, the other way, towards the door. Doesn't it carry nicely?
Well, yes.
Your car is outside, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Wait a minute, I'll open the door for you.
Well, thank you, but really, I...
Good time, Mr.
The Adventures of Ozzie and Harriet, presenting a...
...on a rugged, thrifty pioneer kick.
Never a luxury. Come on. Why don't you come in and buy me? Do it for me. I want to be carried by someone attractive and well-dressed.
Gee, I don't know.
Come on, buy me. You and I will be wonderful together.
Okay, you talked me into it. Come on, boys, finish your lunch.
Did Pop tell you what he didn't do today at the camera store?
David, never mind that.
What didn't you do, Ozzie?
Gee, he was great, Mom. He looked in the window and he saw a beautiful new camera. He wanted it very much. He didn't buy it.
David, forget about it.
Ozzie, don't mark on the napkin with that pencil. Here, mark on the morning paper.
No, I'm sorry, I wasn't thinking.
A camera you wanted and you didn't buy it?
Well, I suppose I'm...
You should have seen him, Mom. His tongue was practically hanging out. But Pop's got willpower. He's loaded with it.
David, there's really no point in making such a thing about it.
That's nothing. You should have seen the way Mom didn't buy a handbag she saw today.
Now, Ricky, please finish your lunch. That's the new speed camera you've been waiting for 3 years, isn't it, dear? I don't see how you resisted it.
Well, Harriet, as a matter of fact...
Congratulations on your willpower, dear.
No, well...
I just wish I were as strong as you are about things like that.
You didn't buy that handbag, Harriet. Of course you didn't. You have such strength of character.
Oh, but I don't, really. Ozzie, dear...
Well, say, I just got an idea. I have to go outside and... let's see. Yes, I have to look at the car. Yes, that's a good one. I mean, I'll be right back. Keep on eating, everybody.
Okay. I wonder what came over him.
Mom, what was Pop scribbling on the paper?
I don't know. He seemed sort of nervous. I think he was just doodling.
Let's see. No, he wrote something. Hey, why do you suppose he wrote this?
What does it say?
Well, he drew a lot of triangles and circles. And then look what he wrote. Ozzie Nelson is a stinker.
Back to Ozzie and Harriet. And things are just a little teensy-weensy bit tense around the Nelson household at 1847 Rogers Road. Ozzie, it seems, laid down the law this morning about wasting money on luxuries. Then he went downtown and promptly let himself be sold a beautiful new camera. Meanwhile, Harriet succumbed to the blandishments of a lovely handbag. Now, neither knows what the other has done. In fact, Harriet thinks Ozzie denied himself the camera. And Ozzie thinks Harriet denied herself the handbag. At the moment, each is feeling very, very guilty. As usual, Ozzie is battling it out with himself.
I can be strong, I can do it.
And what's more, he's winning.
I'll take this camera back no matter what sort of wisecracks he makes about it. That's what I'll do.
And so we find Ozzie... sneaking out the back way. Toward the garage.
Hello, Mr. Nelson.
Hello, Emmy Lou.
Where are you going, Mr. Nelson?
Not so loud.
What's the matter, are you afraid Mrs. Nelson will hear me and find out where you are?
Please. Emmy Lou, come into the garage. At least she can't see me out here.
Jeepers, Mr. Nelson, what have you been up to? You certainly look guilty.
It shows, huh?
It sure does. Who is she, Mr. Nelson?
She? No, it isn't anything like that, Emmy Lou. I wish it were. I mean, it's much worse.
Really? What happened?
Well, as usual, I talk too much. And after giving the entire family a lecture about wasting money on luxuries, I was the one who weakened and yielded to temptation.
Oh, Mr. Nelson, I know just how you feel. You are looking at a girl who simply can't resist buying perfume. I spend my entire allowance on it.
Oh, is that what you've got there?
Uh-huh. I just bought it this morning. They had four different kinds to choose from.
Oh, what were they called?
Come hither, come nearer, come closer.
And the last one?
Where do we go from here?
Emmy Lou, I'm positive that you bought some of that. Where do we go from here?
Well, you're right, Mr. Nelson. Here, smell it. See if you like it.
That's some perfume.
Well, that was nothing, Mr. Nelson. Wait till I take the cork out.
Never mind, Emmy Lou. In fact, I have to hurry down and return this camera. I'll see you a little later.
Mr. Nelson?
Yes, Emmy Lou? Even if you leave the city. Goodbye, Emmy Lou.
Oh, no, Mr. Nelson. Please don't bring it back. You haven't given it a chance.
I know, but I really don't need it. And frankly, it involves a rather complicated family situation that I'd rather not discuss.
In other words, Mrs. Nelson won't let you keep it.
No, no, no. Believe me, that isn't it at all.
That's what they all say. Well, I guess it's always the woman who's the real boss of the house.
Oh, is that so?
Oh, I didn't mean to imply anything personal about you. But after all, you wanted to try the camera this morning, and now you come sneaking back with it.
Go ahead and take it back with you.
Well, I suppose I could, but...
Of course you could.
Yeah, I'll just explain.
Certainly.
She'll understand.
She better.
No, I mustn't weaken.
Mr. Nelson! Mr. Nelson!
I will not weaken! I'm ready! What a narrow escape.
I bought this bag this morning. I was wondering if you could... Give me my money back. I hate to ask you.
That's perfectly all right, madam. Is there anything wrong with it?
Well, no. As a matter of fact, I'm returning it simply because my conscience has been bothering me since I bought it. I just can't face my husband.
Very well. Here's the slip. The cashier will refund your money.
So long, sucker. That gray suit won't be anything without me.
Oh, mind your own business.
I beg your pardon.
Oh, not you, miss. I just wanted to tell you how wonderful I think you were to resist buying that camera.
Oh, it was really nothing.
It took a lot of courage.
I might as well be frank about it. You're darn right it did. Of course, you gave up that handbag, and it was really beautiful, too, I'll bet.
The most beautiful bag I've ever seen. Ozzy, about that camera...
Don't worry about me, Harriet. I'm glad I took it back. So glad I didn't get it.
I'll bet it takes beautiful pictures.
I know, but I don't really need it. As a matter of fact, I don't want it. I wouldn't have it if somebody gave it to me as a gift.
Oh, boy. Hi, Pop. Look here.
Look what Mom got for you.
Holy smokes, it's the camera. It's the same one.
Well, I thought you wanted it, so I bought it for you, but I guess I was wrong. Take it away,
boys. Wait a minute, boys. Let's think this over.
Dear, you don't have to pretend you want it. I know how you really feel. Take it away, boys.
No. Don't go, boys. Harriet... I was just kidding myself a moment ago. I really do want the camera. And, oh, I think it's just wonderful of you to get it for me, dear.
Well, dear, I have a little confession to make. I felt awfully guilty today because you saw this camera and didn't get it, but I did buy that handbag. I just returned it this afternoon.
Oh, I see.
You're the only one who was strong.
Well, Harriet, I often think it's easier for a man to have a strong willpower than a woman.
Davey.
Bye.
Go on, dear. You were saying that it's easier for a man to have a strong will than a woman?
Yes, because you see...
Audrey, this is strange.
Hmm?
I just bought that camera for you less than an hour ago, and here's a bill for it, postmarked 11:30 this morning.
Harriet, I have a confession to make to you.
So you did buy the camera this morning?
Yes, but I took it back this afternoon, and then you know what I did? I went over to the accessory store, and honestly, I tried to buy the bag you were so crazy about. And you know what?
What, dear?
Somebody had bought it not 5 minutes before.
Well, don't worry, dear. So,
but I bought another bag for you. I hope you like it. Here.
Why, Ozzie, you sweetheart. Oh, it's lovely, dear. It's beautiful.
Oh, thanks. I'm sorry I couldn't get the bag you really wanted.
Ozzie?
Yes, dear?
I have a confession to make. I did return the other handbag, but, well, it was so beautiful, I bought it right back again.
Just been lying here thinking. Maybe the boys should have a slight increase in their allowance.
Oh?
What do you think?
I don't know. You think it's a good idea?
Oh, sure. A little won't hurt.
Okay. Comes out of your pocket, remember?
I know. Harriet.
Yes?
I've been thinking about you, too. As long as the boys are getting more allowance.
Yes, dear?
What about you? Do you think you could see your way clear to increase mine?
To the adventures of Ozzie and Harriet. This is the Armed Forces Radio Service, the voice of information and education.
And you are listening to Radio Vault. 89.3 WHFR. We're here every Tuesday between 10 in the morning and 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Greg Gildersleeve is right around the corner from right now. And what do they do for Armed Forces Radio Service shows? Rather than play commercials, they play this filler music.
When what you're listening to gets to be a bit too much, it's good to go back to where it all began. The radio. Tune in to WHFR.FM for relaxing live shows, hosts you can connect with, and alternative variety music that you won't be able to get enough of. That's WHFR.FM at 89.3. WHFR Dearborn. We're making waves, so dial in and catch them.
The Black Male and Queens Focus Group is a social network that challenges the perspectives related to the academics of Black students. It is a niche where those who choose to participate can express themselves and can be helpful to one's academic success. The group is open to all HFC students. You can join their meetings in person in Building 9, or you can join their meetings online via Zoom. For more information, go to hfcc.edu/bmqfg. Visit the website hfcc.edu/bmqfg.
Willard Waterman as the Great Gildersleeve. The Great Gildersleeve is brought to you, transcribed by the Kraft Foods Company. Well, you never know what to expect when a boy empties his pockets. Sometimes it's pieces of string, marbles, tinfoil, keys that won't fit anything, and some things you can't even identify.
But this afternoon, when the great Gildersleeve's nephew, Leroy, emptied his, there was a roll of electric wire, a dry cell battery, and a cast-off light switch. And for the last couple of hours, he's been pretty busy.
Now I'll attach this other wire to the switch and snip it off. That should do it.
Leroy!
Yeah, Bertie?
What are you up to in your uncle's den?
What makes you think I'm up to something?
Because it's so quiet in here. And I know you ain't doing your homework because you usually have the radio going full blast. You're up to something.
Bertie, I got the whole house wired. All I have to do is flip this switch.
You gonna blow it up?
Nah. I'm gonna have some fun with Unc when he comes home.
Come again?
Why don't you answer the door, Bertie?
The doorbell ain't ringing.
Oh, yeah?
My land.
I'll get it! I rang the doorbell sitting right here.
Boy, if you rang that doorbell sitting here down on the den floor, you got the longest arms I ever saw.
Well, heck, I can even make the telephone ring.
No fooling.
Just by flipping the switch.
Leroy, where'd you learn all that hocus pocus?
I picked it up at school.
Hello, everybody. I'm home.
Uh-oh, here's Unc. Make him answer the phone and doorbell when they ring.
Okay. I can always get another job.
Where is everybody?
Come in, Miss Gill, please.
Don't let him come in here.
Oh, you home, ain't you?
That's an astute observation, Bertie.
Thank you, sir.
Where's Leroy?
Oh, he's around and about, up and down, here and there, somewhere around.
Well, I'll catch him the next time around.
Yes, sir.
Can we have dinner a little early? I have a date with Miss Henshaw tonight.
The new school principal?
Yeah, little night school.
Yes, sir. Uh-oh, I gotta go check the road.
All right, I'll get the door. That's funny. Nobody out here. Yeah, I know the doorbell rang. Bertie, you heard the doorbell, didn't you?
Yes.
Yeah, that's strange. Oh, well. I wonder what's in the evening paper.
You want to answer the telephone, Miss Gilsey?
Yeah, all right, Bertie. Hello? Hello? Confounded hello. Nobody there. Guess they hung up. Oh, my goodness.
Can you get it?
Yes, Bertie. Wonder if some kid rang the bell and ran. Yeah, I'll bet that was Leroy. Oop, I've got the door open and it still rings. What's wrong with these chimes? Must be a short in the wiring. You better take a look. What's this wire? Congratulate myself when I think of how well I'm doing with Irene Henshaw. Yeah, glad the school needed a new principal. And she grades me pretty high. If I try to hold her hand tonight, I wonder if she'll give me an F in deportment. Well, at least I'm going to get an A for effort.
Hello, Throckmorton.
Hello, Irene.
Come in.
Thank you.
Well, you're right on time.
Yep, always make it a point never to be late for school. Couldn't wait to get here. Look, I have a couple of apples for the teacher.
You brought apples?
They're in my cheeks.
Oh, it must be nippy out.
Yeah. What should we do tonight, Irene?
Do you mind if we just stay here by the fire?
Do I mind?
I had a dreadful day at school. Everything seemed to go wrong.
Yeah, I'll do my best to make you forget. Let's sit here on the couch. Yeah.
This is much nicer than going out.
You bet. Say, you're a vision of loveliness tonight.
Thank you.
It's quite a get-up you're wearing. Low in the back and buttoned high up the front. Cute dress.
Oh, it's just a little print.
Well, I must say you publish it well.
Morton, you're such fun to be with. You bolster my ego.
Well, we do get along great together.
You're such a comfortable man to be around.
Yeah, I'm as comfortable as an old shoe. I wonder if I should throw another log in the fire.
No, no, let it flicker. I love the interesting shadows it throws on the wall.
I can see our shadows over there. Let's see if I can make a rabbit with my hands. He used to do this when I was a kid.
Well, that's very good. I'll make a companion for him.
Good.
How's that?
He's quite a bunny. Let's have our rabbits touch noses.
All right.
Look, they like each other.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Irene.
Yes?
They say the Eskimos rub noses when they kiss.
So I've heard.
I wonder if we should forget the rabbits and play Eskimo.
Do you think it's that cold in here?
No, indeed. Irene. Oop.
Gracious, who could be at the door at this hour?
Probably a Northwest Mountie.
Excuse me, Throckmorton.
What a time for the doorbell to ring.
Evening, Miss Henshaw.
Why, Mr. Jensen.
You told me to report what I found out about them dad busted bells at school.
Yes.
Well, I can't find out a thing.
Oh?
Well, why did he come by?
Step inside. We'll have to decide what to do.
Thank you, ma'am.
Mr. Gildersleeve, this is our school custodian, Mr. Jensen.
Hello, Mr. Jensen.
Well, how are you, Mr. Gildersleeve? I didn't know our water commissioner was keeping company with our school principal.
Well,
pretty hard man to keep up with where the women are concerned.
Jensen.
Why can't you fix the bells at school, Mr. Jensen?
Well, I can't seem to find out where them boys crossed the wires.
You say some boys have been monkeying with the bell system at school?
That's why it was such a difficult day. We had bells ringing at all hours.
You did?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's Leroy.
A class would just get settled. The bells would ring and they'd get up and leave.
Yes, sir. We had a regular traffic jam this afternoon with all them bells ringing at once. Sounded like a fire drill.
You haven't any idea what boy did it.
No, but I'd be tempted to expel the one who did.
I'd warm his britches, that's what.
Well, maybe he didn't realize what he was doing.
Who?
Well, whoever did it.
I know this. I can't go through another day like today.
No, Irene.
I'm going to get to the bottom of this first thing in the morning. I'm going to call a special assembly, and somebody is going to account to me.
Yeah, she means it.
I'll point out how everybody in school is being inconvenienced, and if the boy has any honor at all, he'll step forward and take his medicine.
Well, I'm sure Leroy... Oh.
Leroy?
Leroy, you're any boy. Whoever did it. We'll realize his mistake by tomorrow morning.
Any boy who would do a thing like this must be a headache to his parents.
Well, I'd better say goodnight.
Yeah, I better go home, too. I think I have a headache.
Yeah, there's still a light in Leroy's room. Yeah, I'll go up and read the riot act to that boy.
Oop! Bells again. He's got everything wired. That young man's going to be in for a shock himself. I never saw Irene so upset. That's another thing. He broke up my date. Leroy.
Yeah?
Front and center.
What?
Out of bed, young man. On your feet and give me an accounting.
Oh, you mean our doorbell. I forgot to disconnect my wires.
Leroy, they're not the only wires you've been tampering with.
What are you talking about, Unc?
Yeah, I know all about what you did to the school bells.
All that? Well, I had nothing to do with it. But boy, you should have seen Miss Henshaw. Was she in a tizzy? And you should have seen Mr. Jensen.
I've seen Mr. Jensen.
Yeah? Did he get the bells fixed?
They're waiting for you to tell them where you crossed the wires. Now come clean.
I am clean. I don't have anything to tell them.
Oh, Leroy, the finger's pointing at you.
Unc, I didn't do it, honest.
Then how do you happen to know so much about rigging bells?
Well, heck, I just picked it up.
Well, you picked up a hot potato. Tomorrow morning, you're going to march up to Miss Henshaw and confess.
I am not.
Leroy, careful.
Why should I confess?
Because it builds character. Now go to bed and think it over.
But I'm innocent.
And stop insisting you're innocent when I keep telling you you're guilty.
What a character.
quiet around the school today. Irene must have laid down the law. That Leroy couldn't get a thing out of him. So the only honest thing for me to do is go to Irene myself and tell her I know he's implicated. Maybe she'll go a little easy on the boy. He isn't malicious.
Come in.
Hello, Irene.
Hello, Throckmorton. Mr. Gildersleeve.
Irene. Oh, yes, we are in school, aren't we?
Yes, we are.
The reason I came, Miss Henshaw, is to talk about the bells.
Oh, they became such a problem, we disconnected them all. We're going by watches until we find the source of the trouble.
Well, I know the source of the trouble.
You do?
This is very embarrassing and painful to me. But the boy who did it is afraid to confess himself, so I'm doing it for him.
Who are you talking about, Throckmorton?
Well, my nephew, Leroy.
Leroy? Is he smart enough to rig the wires? I didn't know he was scientifically inclined.
Yeah, don't be too hard on him. It may be that he's just gotten in with the wrong crowd here in the school.
I didn't know we had a wrong crowd in our school.
Well, the principal doesn't always know what's going on.
Oh?
Boy can pick up plenty of mischief in a school like this and bring the ideas right home.
Uh-huh. Mr. Gildersleeve, it has been my experience that if a boy has received the proper training at home, he isn't likely to get into much mischief at school.
No, Irene, let's not criticize the way I bring up Leroy.
Well, let's not criticize the way I run this school.
But I feel I know you well enough to tell you the boy got his wires crossed here in your school.
Well enough to tell you the boy's uncle is a little haywire.
Now, Irene...
I'm very busy. Good day.
Well, if that's the way you want it, good day. Confound it. Only trying to get Leroy straightened out. Lend a helping hand and she steps on it. Say, there's Jensen still working on the wires. You found out where the trouble is, Jensen?
Not yet, Commissioner.
Well, perhaps I should help. I feel a little responsible for this.
Did you do the tinkering?
No, Jensen. Here, let me have your pliers. I see a wire way back there that looks like it's dangling.
Oh, must have missed that one. Here.
It goes right here, I guess.
Oh, Dad, bust it now. The kids will change classes again. Yeah, and here comes Miss Henshaw breathing fire.
I'm getting out of here. She's already scorched me.
The Great Gildersleeve will be back in just a minute. Well, the Great Gildersleeve has plenty of circumstantial evidence, but he hasn't been able to get a confession that his nephew, Leroy, rigged the school bells. Now the water commissioner feels that the boy's character development is at the crossroads.
Bertie, you know I never get tough with Leroy because of a little prank. But when he won't make a clean breast of it, that's another matter.
Yes, sir, but did anybody see him do it?
Well...
Teacher didn't see him do it.
No, but...
The principal didn't see him do it.
True, but...
Did you see him do it?
Of course not. But we know he rigged the bells here at home.
That I saw him do.
Yeah, you see? And it happened the same day. What do you say to that?
I'd say he's just like his uncle.
What?
Mr. Gildersleeve, when you was in college, who put the cow in the dean's office?
Well, that was an amusing prank.
Yes, sir. But did the dean think so?
Yeah, I don't want Leroy doing everything I did. But when he does get out of line, by George, I want him to admit it. Yeah, here he comes. Maybe he'll take this more seriously if I give him the cold shoulder. Yeah, I'll let him know I'm so shocked I don't want to have anything to do with it. Hello?
They got the bells fixed at school.
Well, I hope you enjoyed your fun.
All the kids did.
And I suppose the culprit never admitted it.
Nuh-uh.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder who did it.
Ha!
I did not. Heck, let's forget it. I can go to a movie tonight. That'd be a swell way to forget it.
I don't think I care to attend a movie with you, Leroy.
Even if I pay my own way?
Sorry?
What's the matter with you, Unc?
Something's happened between us, my boy. The old spark is gone. I like young men of character.
I'm loaded with it. I just don't flaunt it.
Yes.
Well, if you don't want to go to a movie with me, let's eat and I'll go with Piggy.
I don't think I even care to have dinner with you.
You don't?
I'll eat now and you can eat later.
Why don't I eat now and you eat later? Why do you have first crack at it?
What a calloused boy. Hello, Phoebe.
Hello, Mr. Gildersleeve. What can I do for you?
No, I don't want anything. Just wanted to get out of the house and away from Leroy.
The boy got your mumps or something?
No, I'm purposely ignoring him because he wired those school bells and won't admit it.
You don't say.
I'm giving him something to think about. What are you doing, Phoebe?
Well, I'm just putting these cosmetics on the shelves. No woman uses a lot of camouflage these days, Mr. Gildersleeve.
Yeah, I guess so.
They may not put much on their backs, but they sure put a lot on their faces. I wonder what a woman really looks like.
You should know, Peavy. You're married.
Yeah, I think I'll take some of this stuff home to Mrs. Peavy. Mr. Gildersleeve, I have a new line of perfume here. Anytime you need a gift for the new school principal.
Well, we aren't getting along right now.
You don't say.
That's Leroy's fault, too. I tried to explain the situation to her, and we had a row.
Well, if you and Miss Henshaw had a row, you might want to skedaddle out the back way.
Do I?
Here she comes.
Who?
Hello, Mr. Peavy.
Good evening, Miss Henshaw.
Throckmorton, I'm so glad to see you.
You are?
We found out who caused all the bell ringing in school.
Leroy's fingerprints?
No. No. Leroy had nothing to do with it.
He didn't?
Some of the older boys were indulging in a pre-Halloween prank.
They were? Well, that explains a lot.
Yeah, explains why Leroy wouldn't admit he did it, Mr. Gildersleeve.
Well, he'd rigged all the bells at home except the burglar alarm.
I'm afraid you owe Leroy an apology, Throckmorton.
Yeah, I'll say I do. I jumped to conclusions. I assumed too much.
Yes, you did.
I really wronged the boy. I was short-sighted, unfair, suspicious...
Stupid.
All right, Phoebe.
I'm just helping you out.
I owe you an apology, too, Throckmorton, getting upset with you. I'm sorry.
Well, I'm sorry for what I said, too. Maybe we should go somewhere and be sorry together. How about tomorrow evening?
Tomorrow evening?
If you want someplace to go and have a Sunday, I'd be glad to whip up a masterpiece to top off your evening.
Phoebe, when I entertain a girl, a Sunday would hardly be the highlight of the evening.
Well, no, I wouldn't say that.
Mr. Gildersleeve's gonna be mighty sorry he accused you, Leroy.
Yeah. I can't wait for Unc to come home. What a break for me.
Boy, what are you up to now?
Well, they say you should pay for your mistakes. And Unc's gonna pay.
Leroy!
Uh-oh, I'm gonna leave the field to you.
Leroy? Oh, there you are, my boy.
Hello?
They found out who fouled up the bells at school.
Yeah.
Leroy, I'm sorry. I thought it was you. Well, my boy, suppose we go to that movie you were talking about.
I don't think I want to attend a movie with you.
Oh, come on. We'll eat dinner and be off for an evening together.
I don't think I care to have dinner with you.
But, Leroy...
Sorry, Unc, but something has happened between us. Like you said, the spark is gone.
Now, Leroy, I made a mistake.
You sure did.
But I want to make it up to you.
It's too late, Unc. You've stifled my genius.
What?
Just when it was starting to burn.
What genius?
My electrical genius. I might have been another Thomas Edison or an Alexander Graham Bell. That is, if I had better equipment.
Better equipment?
There's a kit down at Hogan Brothers with switches, wire, batteries, transformers. I can take that and invent anything.
You?
But I guess if you ever caught me doing something practical, like specializing in electricity, I'd get the treatment again.
My boy, I want you to have that outfit.
No.
Leroy, please. I owe it to you. Say you'll accept it.
Well, okay, Unc, if it'll make you happy.
You don't mind staying out a little later tonight, do you, Irene?
Not at all, Throckmorton. It's been fun.
Yeah, I thought it'd be nice to stop by the house and have some Bertie's cake and hot chocolate. You come here.
That you, Miss
Gildersleeve? It's us, Bertie.
Yes?
Oh, Bertie has a nice fire going.
Yes. Let's go over and sit down.
Here comes the hot chocolate and the cake.
Well, such service.
Bertie's a jewel.
Hey, Miss Angel.
Hello, Bertie.
Now I'll put the tray right down here by you two and leave you to shift for yourself.
All right, Bertie. We'll manage. Thank you. Good night.
Yes, sir. How do you like the look of that cake, Miss Henshaw?
Oh, it's beautiful, Bertie. I've been hearing a lot about your cake.
Yes, ma'am?
Yeah, Bertie's quite a cook. Good night, Bertie.
Good night, Miss Gildersleeve. That recipe for this cake won the first prize at the county fair, Miss Henshaw.
Really?
Do you cook, Miss Henshaw?
Oh, my goodness.
Not very much, I'm afraid.
I know you're the school principal, but principals ought to know how to cook. They get mad, too.
Yes, well, I'm afraid my interest lies more in the sciences. Physics, astronomy.
Well, you and Mr. Gildersleeve could study astronomy together. He likes the moon, too.
Ready.
Of course, the moon's fine when you're courting, but after you're mad, there's nothing like knowing how to make a hot biscuit.
I'll remember that.
Bertie.
I'm going. Good night.
Good night, Bertie.
At last. By George, we have quite a time trying to be alone together.
Yes. The last time, it was the school custodian, wasn't it?
Yeah, about those school bells. You know, I made it up to Leroy, though. Got him the finest electrical outfit Hogan Brothers had.
Good.
Yeah, I got him on the right track. He's doing constructive things with it. He even fixed this lamp.
Oh.
Yes, indeed. A very complicated three-way switch. See, it's on bright now.
It is a little bright, isn't it?
Yeah. But look. Now it's dim.
That is better.
I can even make it dimmer.
Oh, it's wired to the burglar alarm! Leroy!
Gildersleeve will be with us again in just 30 seconds.
I put the electric kit right there in the car, Unc, like you said.
Yeah, all right, Leroy. I'm sorry it has to be this way, but I'm returning it to Hogan Brothers.
Unc, I'm sorry about the burglar alarm last night, but can I keep the kit if I...
Leroy, I don't want to discuss it. I'm late for a meeting with the mayor. Oh, for just when I'm in a hurry.
I might be able to fix it, Unc.
You?
Well, I've been studying electricity, you know. Maybe it's the wires.
Leroy, put down the hood.
Yeah, this could be the trouble. Oh, hand me the kit, Unc.
Well, better than paying a mechanic, I guess. Unless he ruins the motor.
Yeah, that might do it. Now step on the starter.
Well. Say, it started.
Yeah, let me close the hood. And here's the kit you want to return.
Leroy, maybe you'd better keep it.
Yeah?
The car might be hard to start again some morning.
Gosh, thanks, huh?
Goodbye, my boy.
It's a good thing I pulled that wire loose. I really would have lost this kit.
The Great Gildersleeve production. The show is written by John Elliott and Andy White and is transcribed. Included in the cast are Walter Tetley, Jess Kirkpatrick, Lillian Randolph, Kathy Lewis, and Dick LeGrand. Musical compositions by Jack Meekin. This is John Heaston saying goodnight for the Kraft Foods Company, makers of the famous line of Kraft quality food products. Be sure to listen in next week and every week for the further adventures of the Great Gildersleeve.
Play You Bet Your Life with Groucho next on the NBC Radio Network.
I think you need a reset. Time to reflect on the week you've had and prepare for the rest of the week to come. A few hours to tune out and focus on calming the soul. If that sounds like your jam, tune in to Midweek Midnights every Wednesday from 10 p.m. to 12 a.m. right here on WHFR Radio. Join me, your host, Radio K, in showcasing both new and old shoegaze, indie alternative, and dreamy ambient space music that takes over the airwaves, ready to drift you into your happy place. So tune in this Wednesday and hop on the Midweek Midnight Spaceship. You won't want to miss your ride.
Get in, loser. We're going shopping.
As a teacher, I should know the answers. But with Crohn's disease or ulcerative colitis, answers don't come easy. Steroids made my gut feel better, but they brought symptoms and risks of their own. A friend told me about the Crohn's and Colitis Foundation, and they helped me find a specialist. We talked through the pros and cons and landed on a new treatment. I feel like the guy with answers again. Don't wait. Make sure you have the latest info and the best plan for you. Spill your guts. Learn more at spillyourguts.org.
Once again, you are listening to Radio Vault, your Tuesday place to be each and every Tuesday between 10 in the morning and 1 o'clock in the p.m. We have more Greg Gildersleeve on the way, as well as some Jack Benny. We've got, as far as I know, the one and only time Jack Benny did his show from Detroit. I think we may have played the show before a few years ago, but certainly it's good for another replay. So Jack Benny from Detroit in a little while. We will also hear the Lux Radio Theater and a show from that series what can we tell you about that particular episode? It's called Margie. That's what we could tell you. And from the late 40s, of course. We just heard, by the way, the episode of The Greg Gildersleeve from October 21st, 1953. That was the Leroy the Electrical Wizard episode. Willard Waterman in the title role. And Leroy was played by an adult actor, believe it or not. It was the same actor who played Speedy Alka-Seltzer in the TV commercials by the name of Walter Tetley, who played Leroy in The Greg Gildersleeve. so let's get ready for another episode.
Listener supported non-commercial radio from the campus of Henry Ford College. This is WHFR Dearborn.
Harold Perry as the Great Gildersleeve.
In the house can certainly change a person's life. Take the Great Gildersleeve, for instance. Usually, at 8 o'clock in the morning, he's fast asleep. But now things are different. At 8 o'clock, he's up, dressed, and cheerfully bathing the baby.
This is fun, isn't it, baby?
Yeah.
I'm going to get you all nice and clean, then you'll have your breakfast. Let's wash your little toesies. You're splashing me, baby. Well, you splash me, I'll splash you. There. All right, give me your foot now. We'll wash your little toes one at a time. This little piggy went to market. Tickles. And this little piggy stayed home.
Miss Gilsey.
Come in, Bertie.
Miss Gilsey, David.
What's the matter?
Looks like you got more water on you than the baby has.
Yes, I guess so.
This letter just came for you.
A letter? I'll read it later, Bertie.
Might be something important that came special delivery.
Oh, did? Let me see the envelope. County Welfare Department. Here, hold the soap, Bertie.
Yes, sir.
Wonder what they want. Dear Mr. Gildersleeve. Concerning the baby that you found in your car several weeks ago. Since the parents have not been located, we feel it's time to discuss the future plans for this child. Our welfare investigator, Miss Phoebe Crabtree, will call on you at your home Saturday evening. Please be there. Yours truly, Mr. Somebody, County Welfare Department. Investigator, what's she coming around here for?
I don't know, Miss Gilsey.
Maybe they want to take the baby away.
What?
That's it, Bertie. I suppose I'm not raising her right.
Mr. Gilsey, you're doing a fine job with the baby.
That doesn't make any difference. This investigator will come spying around and find something wrong. Well, they can't do this to me, Bertie.
No, sir, don't you let them.
I'm going to fight this thing.
I'm right with you.
They can't shove me around.
No, sir, you're too big.
I'll never give up.
That's right, Mr. Gilsey. Don't give up the ship.
Don't worry, Bertie. I've just begun the fight. Well, what about it, Judge? What am I going
to
do?
Now, Gildy, if you'll just calm down a minute.
How can I calm down when this woman's coming tomorrow to take the baby away?
Now, this letter doesn't say anything of the kind. It merely states that this Phoebe Crabtree is coming down.
I know what's in the letter, Hooker. I can read.
Now, Gildy, don't get yourself in a tizzy. Whole thing is merely routine. The welfare department always checks up in cases like this.
Well, I don't want anybody named Phoebe Crabtree snooping around my house.
Gildy. They have no reason to take the baby away. After all, you're not a bank robber.
Well...
You're not a second story man.
No.
And there's no law against being a fathead.
Now, see here, Hooker.
This investigator will merely interview you and then ask for a few references.
Oh.
I'd suggest that you ask a few of our leading citizens to vouch for you. How about the mayor?
Mayor? Well, I don't know.
What's the matter? In trouble with him again?
Well, he was sort of unreasonable about my last water report. Just because it was a little late. 3 months.
Uh-huh. Well, let's see. It ought to be someone who is a prominent member of the community. I know. Mrs. Pettibone.
Oh, that old busybody?
Well, I know you two don't get along very well, but she has a lot of influence in this town.
But she's so stuck up, Judge. I can just hear her. Ooh, how do you do, Mr. Gildersleeve?
Well, it's up to you, Gildy. You said you were worried about keeping the baby.
Yeah, guess you're right, Horace. I'll have to go see her.
And, Gildy, if I were you, I'd make an effort to be nice to her.
It'll be an effort, all right. But I'll do it for the baby.
Good morning, Mrs. Pettibone.
Oh, how do you do, Mr. Gildersleeve?
Just happened to be going by. Thought I'd drop in and say hello.
Oh, hello.
Hello.
Is there something you wanted, Mr. Gildersleeve?
Wanted? Oh, no. Just happened to be going by. Thought I'd say hello.
Yes. Well, if you'll excuse me, I'm very busy this morning.
Of course. Suppose you are pretty busy with all your activities. I was just saying to Judge Hooker, I don't know what Summerfield would do without Mrs. Pettibone.
Oh, you were?
Yeah. Why, you're one of the town's leading lights.
Well, nice of you to say so.
Well, you are. You're president of the Women's Club, the Book Lovers, the Summerfield Shakespeare Society. Why, you've got your nose. I mean, you're in everything. I don't see how you do so many things and stay so attractive, too.
Well, thank you. Won't you come in, Mr. Gildersleeve?
Ray, I made it.
Please sit down.
Oh, thank you.
Mr. Gildersleeve, I was a little surprised when you mentioned our Summerfield Shakespeare Society. I didn't know you were a follower of the Bard.
Who?
The Bard. That's what we call Shakespeare.
Oh, well, I never knew him that well.
But you do like his plays.
Oh, yes, I wouldn't miss one.
Oh, well, in that case, you'll want to see our thrilling production of Macbeth next week.
Well...
I am playing Lady Macbeth. Uh-huh. Is this a dagger that I see before me?
Huh? Where?
That's a line from the play, Mr. Gildersleeve.
Oh, of course.
Here are 4 tickets for you and your family. You can send me a check for
$12. $12. Well, thank you. Mrs. Pettibone.
Yes?
I wonder if I could ask you a teeny-weeny little favor.
Why, of course.
You see, an investigator from the welfare department is coming to see me tomorrow about my keeping the baby.
Oh, yes?
Now, if you could just put in a good word for me, it would mean a lot.
Well, I don't know, Mr. Gildersleeve.
What?
I would have 1 or 2 little reservations about recommending you.
Oh, you would?
Yes. There are a few of your habits I do not approve of. Smoking cigars, carousing with those jolly boys, not to mention your little peccadillos with the fair sex.
Yes, oh.
Those are all little black marks, Mr. Gildersleeve.
Well, I'd be glad to give up cigars. And the jolly boys. Not to mention the little peccadillos.
Oh. Well, it's easier said than done.
But Mrs. Pettibone...
I'll have to think it over, and I'll let you know tomorrow.
But...
Au revoir now. I must rehearse.
But...
Is this a dagger that I see before me?
No, that's me, and I'm leaving. Good day, Mrs. Pettibone. See anything so strange about that, Marjorie? Perfectly natural for a man to sit in his own living room after dinner and read.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, there's nothing so funny about it. I don't have to be out carousing with the jolly boys every night. Singing. Having a good time.
Of course not, Hunky. You just go right ahead and read if you want to. Want me to get you a cigar?
Cigar? No, thank you, my dear. I've given up cigars.
Uncle Mort, don't you think you'd be overdoing this being respectable? Well, just because Mrs. Pettibone...
Marjorie, I know what I'm doing.
Well, all right, Unky. But I think all this pretending is silly. You're a pretty nice old uncle just the way you are.
Well, thank you, my dear. But we mustn't give him any reason to take the baby away. Let's all be on our good behavior. Leroy, do you always...
Leroy!
What? Where are you going?
Me and Piggy are going to practice drop kicks under the streetlights.
No, you're not. You're going to practice staying home for a change.
Oh, why?
Playing out in the street like some ragamuffin? Suppose Mrs. Pettibone should see you.
Mrs. Pettibone? What's she got?
Now, don't argue. You're staying in.
What's the matter with him?
Tell you later.
And quit whispering. We're going to start behaving like a normal, civilized family. Won't hurt us to spend an evening home together.
Uncle Mort?
Yes?
I thought you had a date with Miss Fairchild tonight.
Adeline? Well, I did, but I'm calling it off.
Oh.
There's no reason why I have to be going out on dates all the time. After all, women aren't the most important thing in my life. Leroy!
Uncle, Shouldn't you call Miss Fairchild and tell her you're not coming?
Yes, I intend to.
Well, you ought to do it now. It's 8 o'clock.
All right, I will. I'm not afraid to call Adeline. I'll do it right now. Hope Adeline won't mind my breaking our date. Oh, well. She'll understand. I think. I'll be polite, but firm. Have to let her know that I mean business.
Hello?
Hello? Miss Fairchild?
What? Who's this?
This is Mr. Gildersleeve.
Oh, Throckmorton, you silly billy. You play so cute.
I'm not playing.
You are, too, you great big honey bear, you.
Adeline? I mean, Miss Fairchild,
I'm waiting for you, Throckmorton.
Well, I...
Mighty cozy over here. There's a fire in the fireplace.
There is?
Mm-hmm. And the lights are turned down low.
They are?
And I'm just dripping with perfume.
You am? I mean, you are?
You heard now, you hear?
Well, no. I've got to be strong. I mean, I'm going to stay home and read a book.
Read a book? Well, I declare. Oh, very well, Throckmorton P. Gildersleeve. If that's the way you feel, you can just stay home. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Oh, well, the baby loves me. High with work. Guess I could answer a couple of letters. Bessie! Oh, that girl. I suppose she's down getting another soda. Guess Adeline will never speak to me again after last night. I hope Mrs. Pettibone is satisfied. I've given up everything. That old cigar in the ashtray sure looks tempting. Maybe if I just... No. Be strong, Gildersleeve. The cigar sure is. Come in.
Hello, Throckmorton.
Oh, Adeline. Hello.
How do you feel?
All right.
I'm sorry I was so mean to you last night.
What?
You poor misunderstood man, you.
But, Adeline, aren't you...
Angry at my itsy-bitsy boy? Why, no, Throckmorton. Marjorie told me all about your noble sacrifice.
Well, she did.
And I think you're just wonderful doing all this for that little baby. It's the finest thing I ever heard of.
Well, I'm just doing my duty, that's all.
Well, I think it's mighty honorable. And I want you to know, Throckmorton, that little Adeline is right with you. If you can make a sacrifice, so can I.
What do you mean?
Throckmorton, this is goodbye.
Goodbye? Huh?
I mustn't stand between you and that little baby. I don't think I should ever see you again.
No, Adeline, we don't have to overdo this.
Farewell, Throckmorton.
Adeline!
Now, don't take it too hard. Let's have no tears, no regrets. When I leave, just imagine I'm going into the next room there.
But that's the broom closet.
We're just two little bees that met in the magnolia blossom. We sipped our honey and then flew away. Buzz, buzz, buzz. Throckmorton?
Yes?
Before I fly away, would you do me a teeny-weeny favor?
Why, of course.
Would you kiss your little honeybee goodbye?
Well, there's no harm in one little kiss, since we're saying goodbye.
I'm puckered.
Mr. Gildersleeve.
Hello, Mrs. Pettibone.
Hello.
This is Miss Honeybee. I mean, Miss Fairchild.
How do you do?
How's Lady Macbeth today?
Mr. Gildersleeve, I came here to tell you that you could count on an excellent character reference from me.
Oh, thank you.
But after what I just witnessed, I find I must reverse my decision.
But Mrs. Pettibone...
Well, Throckmorton and I were just saying goodbye forever.
A likely story. And what's that in the ashtray? A cigar!
That's from yesterday.
I'll have a few things to say to that welfare investigator. Good day.
I'm sorry, Throckmorton.
That's all right.
the great Gildersleeve is a very worried man. With the influential Mrs. Pettibone against him, he feels his chances of keeping the baby are very slim. It's afternoon now, and we find our water commissioner, crushed in spirit, plodding homeward from the office. He's just passing Floyd's barber shop.
Hey, come in.
Floyd, I don't feel like talking to him.
Don't run away. Want to ask you something.
Well, what is it, Floyd?
What's this I hear about you and Miss Fairchild schmoozing around in your office?
What?
That's nice work if you can get it, Commish.
Now, Floyd, that was all perfectly innocent.
Uh-huh. I suppose you was just collecting her water bill.
Who told you about this?
Well, it ain't exactly a secret, Commish. Mrs. Pettibone's spreading it all over town.
Oh? This isn't funny, Floyd. It may interest you to know that I might lose the baby on account of this.
No kidding?
I was counting on Mrs. Pettibone for a character reference when that investigator comes tonight. What a reference I'm going to get.
Gee, I'm sorry. If there's anything I can do, Commish...
Well...
If you need a reference or anything, you can always count on little Floydie Munson.
Well, thanks, Floyd, but I'm afraid a recommendation from Munson's barbershop wouldn't be much help.
Why not?
Mrs. Pettibone is an important civic leader, and, well...
Oh, I'm not good enough for you, huh?
No, Floyd, I didn't
for
mean...
For your
that.
Information, Commissioner, barbering is an honorable profession.
Of course it is. I didn't...
I don't know why you should talk. They had barbers before they had water commissioners.
No, Floyd...
Started way back with the Romans... Why, them Roman togas is nothing but barber sheets.
Floyd, if you'll just listen a minute.
I'm proud to be a barber. It's honest toil. And at least I don't spend my time chasing dames around a desk.
Oh! Now, look here.
Good day, Casanova.
Floyd! Oh, what's the use? What a life. Guess I'll drop into Peavy's and get a cigar. Mrs. Pettibone's got her mind all made up about me anyway. Nobody... Say, Peavy knows her pretty well. I wonder if he'd put in a good word for me. Maybe if I flatter him a little. Ah, good afternoon, Peavy.
Yeah, hello, Mr. Gildersleeve. What can I do?
Peavy, you're a wonderful fellow.
How's that?
I said you're a wonderful fellow.
That's what I thought you said.
Yes, sir. You're a splendid pharmacist, a stalwart friend, and a model husband.
Well, no, I wouldn't say that.
Well, you are, Peavy.
Well, I don't know. I've been pretty mean to Mrs. Peavy at times.
Why, I can't believe that.
Well, it's true. Just the other morning, I cooked her breakfast, washed the dishes, swept the floor, but I refused to burn the papers.
You did?
Yes, I was in a rebellious mood. I don't know what comes over me sometimes.
Well?
I guess I'm just a Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde.
Well, Peavy, as far as I'm concerned, you have a sterling character. And I'd give you my recommendation anytime.
Yeah, thank you.
To anybody.
Thanks again.
And I'm sure you'd do the same for me. Well, wouldn't you?
Well, I don't know.
Peavy, I just said some nice things about you.
I didn't ask you to.
Well, I did. Can't you say something nice about me?
Not today, I can't.
Why not?
Well, I don't approve of kissing during office hours.
Peavy, don't you listen to Mrs. Pettibone. It was all a mistake.
It certainly was.
Peavy, Adeline and I were just saying goodbye.
Mr. Gildersleeve, you can tell that to Sweeney.
It's a shame. You were trying so hard, too.
Well, there's nothing we can do about it now, my dear. It's water over the dam.
I'm going to miss that baby so much.
Yeah, me too.
Children, this is an unhappy day for all of us. Miss Crabtree will be here in a few hours. The way things have turned out, I guess she'll take our little baby away. We've got to be brave. It's just one of life's little tragedies. We've got to keep our chins up, heads high.
Sure, Unky.
Sure, Unc.
They'll take it like little soldiers. Just be cheerful about it.
Well, here's the baby, Mr. Gildersleeve.
Thank you, Bertie.
I got her all bundled up in the carriage like you told me.
Where are you taking her, Unky?
For a walk in the park. It'll be our last little visit together.
It's mean of that investigator to take her away. I'm sure gonna miss that little child.
Yes. Bertie, we've decided to be cheerful about this.
Yes, I'll be cheerful.
That's the spirit.
It's going to be mighty lonesome not seeing that little face in the morning.
Now, Bertie.
But I'll be cheerful.
Good.
I I'm going to feel awful when I look in a crib and there's nobody there. Empty.
Bertie, please.
But I'll be cheerful.
You're fine.
The house is sure going to be quiet and gloomy without that little baby's laughter.
Bertie.
But don't you worry about me. I'll be cheerful.
Come on, baby.
Want me to get it, Bertie?
No, I'll get it, Leroy.
Oh, hello.
Yes, ma'am?
Does Mr. Gildersleeve live here?
Yes, he does, but he ain't home right now.
Oh, well, I'm the investigator from the welfare department, Miss Crabtree.
Investigator? Oh.
I was supposed to call this evening, but I got away a little earlier than I expected.
Yes, ma'am.
Is the baby here?
No, ma'am.
Was she with Mr. Gildersleeve?
Yes, ma'am.
Well, it's very important that I see them. Could you tell me where they are?
Mr. Gildersleeve's in the park.
Oh, well, I suppose I can find him.
Well, when you see a sad, fat man wheeling a baby carriage, that's him.
You like it here in the park, baby? Yeah, well, that's good. It is beautiful. Leaves all turning red and gold. Good. Hear those birds? They'll be flying south pretty soon. Well, been walking quite a while now. I think I'll sit down on this bench for a minute. Well, baby, guess this is the last time we'll sit in the park together. Yeah. Well, I hope wherever they take you, you'll be happy. Maybe they'll find your mother soon. You gonna miss me a little, baby? Well, I'm certainly gonna miss you.
Hello.
Huh? Oh, hello.
Oh, my, that's a cute baby.
Yes, he is.
Hello there. Kitchy, kitchy, coo. I love babies, don't you?
Yeah.
Mind if I sit down?
No, not at all.
Thank you.
Huh? You getting cold, baby? Here, let me tuck your little blanket in. There.
You kind of like that baby, don't you?
Yeah, but I wish I didn't.
What?
I won't have her after tonight. See, she isn't really my baby. I'm just taking care of her. But the welfare department's going to take her away from me.
They are?
Yeah. Sending some investigator down to snoop around. Miss Phoebe Crabtree. Probably some old sourpuss.
Oh, do you think so?
Sure, I can just see her. Skinny old hatchet face.
I see.
She probably hates children, too.
Well, she might be nice.
With a name like Crabtree? Don't be ridiculous, miss.
Crabtree.
Yeah, but... Crabtree?
Yes. Yes, I'm that skinny old hatchet face that hates children. I heard a few things about you this afternoon, Mr. Gildersleeve. I had a long-distance call from a Mrs. Pettibone.
Oh, yeah. I guess you're going to take the baby away then.
Oh, no. In fact, I came here to ask if you'd mind keeping the baby a little longer.
You did? Well, what about Mrs. Pettibone?
Oh, we didn't take her charges very seriously. The welfare department doesn't take much stock in rumors.
Of course not. Fine organization, the welfare department.
We've checked you very thoroughly. And besides, anyone seeing you and that baby together would know you've done a wonderful job.
Well, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Gildersleeve. And goodbye.
Goodbye. Goodbye, Miss Crabtree. Wonderful name. Come on, baby. We're going home. Excuse me while I light a cigar.
The Great Gildersleeve will be back in just a minute.
Hello?
Hello,
Throckmorton.
Adeline.
Throckmorton, I'm awfully glad everything worked out so nice about the baby.
Well, thank you.
And Throckmorton, it's mighty cozy over here.
Huh?
There's a fire in the fireplace. The lights are turned down low.
They are?
Mm-hmm. And your little honeybee is waiting.
Well, I'll buzz right over. Good night, folks.
The Great Gildersleeve is played by Harold Perry, Adeline Fairchild, by Miss Una Merkel. The show was written by Gene Stone and Jack Robinson, with music by Jack Meekin. Included in the cast are Walter Tetley, Mary Lee Robb, Lillian Randolph, Earl Ross, and Richard LeGrand. This is John Wall saying goodnight for the Kraft Foods Company, makers of the famous line of Kraft quality food products. Be sure to listen in next Wednesday and every Wednesday for the further adventures of the Great Gildersleeve. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
The many sounds, the many faces of jazz and improvised music can be heard on the Spirits Rejoice radio program every Tuesday from 6 to 10 p.m. right here, WHFR.FM, WHFR Dearborn.
Founded in 2016 and sponsored by the Detroit Regional Chamber of Commerce, the Detroit Promise ensures that any student graduating from any high school in the city of Detroit will have a tuition-free path to an associate degree or technical certificate. Henry Ford College has been a proud participant in the Detroit Promise since the beginning. With 66% of all Detroit Promise students attending HFC, it is the largest Detroit Promise enrollment of any college. For more information, visit hfcc.edu/Detroit-Promise or DetroitPromise.com today.
The Jack Benny Program. Jack Benny with Barry Livingston, Phil Harris, Rochester, Dennis Day, and yours truly, Don Wilson. Broadcasting from Detroit, Michigan, the automobile capital of the world. But yesterday they raised the prices of new automobiles, so today we bring you the walking man, Jack Benny.
Jack Benny talking, and Don, you're right. I haven't got a new car, but it's not that I haven't tried. You see, there's still an awful shortage.
Oh, that's right, Jack. It's almost impossible to get a new car.
You're not kidding, Don. This morning I saw Kaiser and Fraser. They were both riding bicycles. And that hyphen between their name was on roller skates. But, gee, I'd give anything to pick up a new car here.
Well, Jack, I'm quite sure I can help you get one.
How?
Well, I don't like to brag, but I carry quite a bit of weight in this town.
Well, I wish you... Don, would you mind repeating that?
I said, I carry quite a bit of weight in this town.
Don, you carry... No, I won't say it. I won't say it. No, we were number one in the Hooper last week. Why take any chances? Anyway, Don, thanks for offering to help me, but I'm not sure I'd like to get one of the latest model cars. They're so revolutionary. You know, no cranks in front or anything. Really. And another thing, they've made so many radical changes in the designs. Have you seen the rear end of the new Cadillac?
Yes, why?
It looks like two salmon swimming upstream to spawn. Believe me.
Well, anyway, Jack, I'm glad we finally took this trip to Detroit. You know, I've needed a new car for 3 years, and I'm going to get it now.
Well, Don, if you needed a car so badly, why didn't you get it back in Hollywood? I mean, why did you have to come to Detroit?
For a fitting.
glad you do need a new car. Your old one is a little tight around the luggage compartment. Maybe you can let out the fenders, you see. And, oh, hello, Mary.
Hello, Jack, Don. Hello, everybody.
Well, well, Mary, how do you like it here, huh?
Oh, wonderful, Jack. Simply wonderful. To me, Detroit is one of the greatest cities in America.
Well, you really do like it here, huh, Mary?
Yes, Don, I love Detroit. First city of Michigan, first in automobile production, and fourth in the American League.
Hey, Mary, I didn't know you were interested in baseball.
Well, I am. And, Jack, the other day I went out to Briggs Field, and I've got some bad news for you.
What is it?
Greenberg isn't on third anymore.
I must tell my writers, they think Ty Cobb is still out in left field.
Mary, have you seen many other things here in town?
Oh, yes, Don. One of the places I visited was the Ford factory. You know, Ford sponsors Fred Allen.
Gee, I can't understand it. A progressive company like Ford going back to the Model T. And why should he be on the air for Ford anyway? With that receding forehead, he looks like a Studebaker.
Picking on Fred and admit that he's a very good comedian.
Oh, he is, Mary. He's a very good comedian. Yeah, but I don't think that Fred should be on the air for an automobile. Fred should be sponsored by a ball bearing company.
Why?
Because every time I hear him, my stomach turns. Now, let's stop talking about him.
Okay. Anyway, Jack, yesterday I went out to the soda plant and I met the cutest engineer. I went out with him last night.
At the DeSoto plant? Did you have fun?
Yeah. But you know, it seems that everyone around here is always thinking and talking in terms of automobiles.
What do you mean, Mary?
Well, this fellow took me out in the park, and we sat down on a bench in a dark corner. Then he looked into my eyes and said, "Honey, do you know you have the nicest, shiniest pair of headlights I've ever seen?"
No.
Yes. Then he looked at my lips and told me I had a great paint job.
What technique?
And then he put his finger on my nose, pushed a little, and was awfully disappointed when my hat didn't go up.
Gee.
Then he kissed me, and it did.
Well, he kissed you. It serves you right going out with a strange man.
Oh, Jack, I was properly introduced to him. And anyway, the only reason I went out with him is because I thought he might help me get a new DeSoto. No such luck.
Well, say, Mary, maybe I can help you get a car here in Detroit.
Oh, Don, that would be wonderful. Do you think you can do anything?
Certainly. I carry quite a bit of weight in this town.
Well, Don, I'd like... Wait a minute. Would you mind repeating that?
I said, I carry quite a bit of weight in this town.
Don, you carry so much... No, I won't say it. I won't say it. My landlord may be listening in. He's looking for an excuse to evict me.
Mary, I want to commend you on your good taste. You know, I had the same opportunity and... Oh, hello, Dennis.
Hello, Mr. Benny. Hello, everybody.
Gee, I'm glad you made it on time, kid. You know, I haven't seen you since we arrived in Detroit.
Well, that's right, Dennis. What have you been doing with yourself?
Oh, I've been spending most of my time in my hotel room.
Have you got a nice place?
Oh, it's all right. I got a room with hot and cold running.
Hot and cold running water?
I don't know. There isn't any bathroom.
Dennis, you mean you're staying in a room with no water?
Uh-huh.
Well, what do you do when you need a bath?
Keep away from people.
You take him, Don. Somehow he seems to tire me.
Okay, tell me, Dennis, are you staying at the Book Cadillac Hotel?
Oh, no, that's too expensive for me.
Well, where are you staying?
At the Book Chevrolet.
Now cut that out! Now, instead of all that silly talk, let's have your song.
Okay.
Now go ahead and... Oh, hold it, Dennis. Come in. Oh, Donna, we were supposed to have an interruption here, but we left the actor in Hollywood. Sing, Dennis. Go ahead. latest RCA Victor recording, Mama McCushlin. Very good, Dennis. By the way, kid, I meant to ask you, how'd you like the train trip from Hollywood to Detroit?
Not so good. I shared a compartment with Phil Harris and I couldn't sleep a wink.
You mean Phil kept you awake?
Oh, no, I had the upper berth and it was awfully uncomfortable. I could hardly move in it. I didn't get any sleep at all and I tried everything. I even went to bed early.
Well, what time did you have the porter put your berth down?
Oh, down!
Pretty tired on the train, Dennis.
I was. I'd wake up in the morning and my eyes would be just as red as Phil's, and I didn't have half the fun.
Well, kid, I hope you're getting enough sleep now that you're here in Detroit.
No, I'm in a pretty terrible hotel. I'd like to get rooms at a decent place, but they're all booked up. Could you help me get a room, Mr. Benny?
Well, I don't think so. I don't know many people here in Detroit.
Well, now, perhaps I can help you, Dennis. I carry quite a bit of weight in this town.
Gee, that would be... Would you mind saying that again?
I said, I carry quite a bit of weight in this town.
You carry so much...
No, I won't say it. I won't say it.
I have another show in Hollywood, and I wanted to be there when I get back.
That's the first sensible thing you've said today, kid. You know, if you would just... Come in.
Hello, Mr. Benny Boy.
Well, if it isn't Mr. Kitzel. Mr. Kitzel, what are you doing here in Detroit?
Well, I came here to show something to the automobile manufacturers. I have the most wonderful automobile.
Really?
Yes, it runs on the ground, it runs under the water, it flies through the air, it even climbs up trees.
Gee, that's wonderful. When did you get an automobile like that?
I always had it, but I never knew it would do all those things till my wife drove it.
Oh. Oh, I see. Is it a brand new car, Mr. Kitzel?
No, Chester. It's an old car. It's a Rolls Canardly.
A Rolls Canardly?
Yes, it rolls down one hill and can hardly get up the next.
Oh, now, Mr. Kitzel.
Oh, excuse me, that's a joke I heard on the radio on the Ozzy and Horowitz program.
No, that's Ozzy and Harriet. Well, Mr. Kitzel, are you leaving town right away?
No. I'm thinking of staying here and playing with the Detroit Tigers.
You're going to play with the Detroit Tigers. Why?
Who knows? Maybe 10 men will help.
Wait a minute. Now, wait a minute, Mr. Kitzel. You see, every baseball team has its off days. Ooh. That's why they're starting to play here at night, you see? Mr. Kitzel, before you leave town, I want you to come over and see my stage show. You know, we're playing here at the Fox Theater this week. Phil Harris, Rochester, the Sportsman Quartet, and Marilyn Maxwell.
Yeah, I know. I saw it the first day I got into town. And that Marilyn Maxwell, if you'll pardon the expression,
Oh, she certainly is beautiful, isn't she?
Yes, and what a shape. This is the first Maxwell I ever saw with a body by Fisher.
Appreciate the compliment, Mr. Kitzel. I'll tell her when I see her. It was nice of you to drop in to see my stage show.
Well, I've seen it 9 times already since I arrived here in town.
Well, 9 times.
Yes, tonight I hope I can get a room.
Well, maybe after the show I can help you, Mr. Kitzel.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Benny Boy. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Goodbye, Mr. Kitzel. Well, come on, kids. Let's finish the show and get back.
Oh, say, Jack, before you go any further, I wondered if you'd mind letting the quartet do their number now.
Oh, yes, the Sportsmen. Hello, fellas.
Jack, the quartet's going to Cleveland with you, aren't they?
Yes, we open at the Palace Theater in Cleveland Friday.
Well, Jack, they want to know if they can leave right after your Cleveland engagement. You see, they've got to go to Philadelphia to sing at the Republican Convention.
Oh, how come they're only singing at the Republican Convention?
The Democrats have Margaret.
Well, Don, Is that all they're going to do?
No.
Is that all they're going for?
No, no, they're going to be delegates, too.
Delegates? Well, that's interesting. Who are they going to vote for?
Say, I never thought to ask them. Say, fellas, who are you going to vote for?
The man that we'll vote for is M.P. Boone. Oh, yes, indeed, our vote goes to Speedy and Boone.
Boy. I mean, how can you let them do that to me?
Well, Jack, it's your own fault that the quartet upset you. Why'd you bring them along on the trip?
Now, anytime I can get four of anything for the price of one, I take it. That's why I hired you, too. Now, come on, let's...
Say, Jack.
What?
I meant to ask you, are you getting a straight salary at the Fox Theater, or are you working on a percentage?
Well, I get a percentage on every ticket that's sold. Why?
Well, while the boys were singing, this note came to you from the manager of the theater.
What does it say?
It says, Dear Jack, you were right. The total attendance yesterday was 22,307 instead of 22,306. How you can count with that spotlight in your eyes, I'll never know.
Of course I was right. I only made one mistake since I've been here, and that wasn't my fault. There was a man sitting in the fifth row of the balcony with two heads. One of them was asleep on his own shoulder. Imagine us writing that without George, huh, fellas? You know, Mary, counting the house is one of the first things I've ever learned.
So far, folks, this show has smelled, but now Harris is here, and I'm jet propelled.
Gentlemen, for the benefit of the few of you who haven't been blown out of your seats, this is Whispering Jack Smith. Hello, Phil.
Ah, hiya, Jackson. Dennis. Ah, Livy. Lovely Livy. Oh, look at that streamlined chassis with those beautiful accessories.
Hello, Phil. I know it's silly to ask you, but have you been enjoying yourself here?
Love it, Livy, love it. You know, Detroit's a great town, and just think. This big city, all these millions of people, all these big factories, these thousands of workers. None of them would have been here today if Marconi hadn't invented the automobile.
Phil, for your information, Marconi didn't invent the auto. He invented radio.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right. Imagine me making a mistake like that when I know so much about inventors.
Oh, fine.
Well, if you don't believe me, go ahead. Ask me any question you want to about them inventors.
Okay, who invented the electric light?
Edison.
Hmm, pretty good. Who invented the telegraph?
Morse.
Hey, that's right. Who invented the cotton gin?
Gordon.
I knew it couldn't last.
Well, listen, Jackson, if you think that's bad, you should hear what Remley did. He's been waiting for years to come here and get a car so it would be FOB Detroit.
What's wrong with that?
He thinks FOB means full old bourbon. Oh, Harris, you're just like the new Oldsmobile. Beautiful but shiftless.
Well, you can save those jokes for our stage show. If the people don't like them there, you know, they can walk out. Here, we got them trapped.
Hey, wait a minute. That reminds me. Look, Jackson, I got a squawk about my billing coming at that theater.
Why, what's the matter, Phil?
Plenty. Plenty's the matter. I took pictures of the marquee and my name ain't even on it. Now, here, look.
Let's see. Fox Theater now showing Jack Benny and... Oh, for heaven's sake, Phil. Look, here it is right on the second line. P-H-I-L-H-A-R-R-I-S. Phil Harris.
Oh, is that what that spells?
And while we're talking about...
Say, Mr. Benny, you want to see something funny?
Huh?
Put your finger on my nose and push.
What?
Put your finger on my nose and push.
Okay, there. Dennis, what happened?
Yesterday I was going through one of the automobile factories and my head got caught in the assembly line.
go sit down.
Okay.
And stop pulling your ear.
I'm turning my lights off.
Oh, be quiet. Now, Phil, getting back to our vaudeville show, I got a couple of complaints to make, too.
Such as what?
Such as when you do that love scene with Marilyn Maxwell. When you kiss her, why do you have to kiss her so long?
Listen, Jackson, you ain't paying the girl nothing. Let her have some fun.
You think kissing you is fun, huh?
Certainly. You don't think I hung on to Alice with just my lousy music.
No, no. Well, look, Phil, let's not discuss your love life. I'm talking about our vaudeville show. Another thing, I don't like the way you deliver some of your jokes. You're pressing too hard.
Okay. I'll watch it, Jackson. You know more about that than I do.
And don't make such a slow exit after your number. Get off the stage fast. It'll help your applause. You see?
Okay, I will. You know more about those things than I do.
And another thing, I think your tempo is much too fast when you sing, "That's What I Like About the..."
Now, hold it, Dad. Hold it.
Huh?
I don't mind you telling me how to deliver jokes.
Look, Phil.
And I don't mind you telling me how to make an exit.
Phil.
But telling me how to sing, "That's What I Like About the South," is like Henry Aldrich telling Dr. Kinsey about the birds and bees.
To offend you.
Anyway, Jack's right, Phil. I don't think your band sounds good.
Well, I know it don't, but it ain't my fault, Liv. That theater has an awful piano. We'd sound a lot better if it had a good one.
Well, I'm sorry, Phil. I can't help you there.
Well, maybe Don can help me. Hey, Donzie, can you help me? You carry quite a bit of weight in this town.
Yes, I, Hey, wait a minute, Phil. Would you mind repeating that?
I said, you carry quite a bit of weight in this town.
I sure do, Phil, especially around my suburbs. Wilson, you may take up half the stage, but you're worth it.
Yes. Well, Don, you finally got your little fat joke in, didn't you? Are you happy now? Huh? Oh, there's the phone. I'll get it. Hello?
Hello, Mr. Berry. This is Rochester.
Hello, Rochester. What'd you call for?
Well, I've got some bad news for you.
What is it?
I'm at the hotel and one of your trunks is missing. There are only two here.
Oh, my goodness. Which one of the trunks was lost? The one with the strap around her or the one with the rope?
The one with the scotch tape.
Well, what have you done about it?
Well, I called your insurance company and the adjuster is here now. I'm giving him a list of the things that were lost. First, your blonde toupee with the cowlick.
My blonde toupee? Well, I've got two like that. Which one do you mean?
The one that makes you look like an aging Van Johnson.
Oh, gee, that was my Saturday night one.
I know, boss. And I'm charging them $30 for it.
Well, wait a minute, Rochester. That toupee only cost me $3.
That's what the bait cost, but look at the time you spent trapping it.
Well, I consider that a sport. Now, what else was lost, Rochester?
One electric iron, soap, starch, bluing, and laundry tickets.
Gee, that's too bad.
Well, boss, I'm kind of glad we lost all that laundry stuff, especially now that we're traveling and have no washing machine.
Why?
I get awful tired sitting in the bathtub full of clothes and kicking my feet.
Well, that's good exercise, Rochester. Wait a minute. I hope we didn't lose the trunk that had my violin in it.
That was it, boss. And the man is allowing you $12 for that.
$12? Rochester, the violin bow alone is worth $12. The horsehair in it came from Whirlaway.
I told him that.
What did he say?
He said he wouldn't give me $12 for that bow if Whirlaway was still attached to it, Eddie R. Carroll was riding it, and it was 5 lengths ahead in the Kentucky Derby.
Well, what did he say about my violin?
Oh, he wasn't original at all.
Well, I'll take that up with the insurance adjuster myself. And I'll see you later. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Oh, say, boss.
Now what?
Would it be all right if I took the night off? I'm kind of anxious to go over to Canada.
Well, I guess it'll be all right, Rochester. It is a pleasant drive across the Ambassador Bridge.
Oh, I'm not going across the bridge. I'm going through the tunnel.
Tunnel? Is there a tunnel under the Detroit River?
Yeah, doing probation. Phil Harris dug it with his bare hands.
I remember he bit his way through the last 2 miles of it. Goodbye, Rochester.
Goodbye.
I never saw anybody like Rochester. Every time I leave town, he loses something.
in just a minute, but first...
Ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank everybody for being so nice to us here in Detroit, and we'll be at the Fox Theater till Wednesday.
So come in and let Jack count you.
Yeah. And we hope to see all our friends in Cleveland when we open at the Palace Theater Friday. And next Sunday, we'll be broadcasting from the Carter Hotel in Cleveland, Ohio. Now, let's see, what else?
Oh, Jack, a note just came from your room clerk at the hotel where you're staying.
The room clerk? What does it say?
It says that, "Dear Mr. Benny, I took the matter up with the manager, and he says the price of your room cannot be reduced, as no one asks you to launder the bed linen yourself." However, we're curious to find out why every piece of your linen has Rochester's footprints on it.
Gee, I told Rochester he was kicking too hard. In Cleveland, I'll make him wear socks. Good night, folks.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
All right, there you have it, Jack. Jack Benny from June 13, 1948. You are in tune with Radio Vault. And for our third hour, as promised, we have got the Lux Radio Theater. We'll get to that in scant moments. Quick little mud puppy interlude for you there as we continue. This is Radio Vault every Tuesday from 10 to 1 o'clock. Don't forget Sunday Night Mysteries here at WHFR, and we'll tell you more about that in a second.
I knew there was a better career out there for me, but I couldn't afford to quit my job to get the necessary education. Thanks to Henry Ford College, I didn't have to. In just 2 years, I earned my associate's degree and was ready to start a new career in the industry I love. I work hard for myself and for my family, and I've earned the chance to advance in my job and in my life. Henry Ford gave me that chance. I'm a Henry Ford College graduate, and I'm future-driven.
Henry Ford College. Future-driven.
Attention, all spacemen.
The planet Man.
Man.
rockets blast off to distant planets and far-flung stars, we take you to the age of the conquest of space with Tom Corbett, Space Cadet.
Join us for Science Fiction Superheroes every Sunday between 9 o'clock and 10 o'clock here on WHFR, followed by suspense and detective shows until 12 midnight. That's Sunday Night Mysteries from 9 p.m. until 12 midnight every Sunday all summer long here on 89.3 WHFR and WHFR.FM.
25% of community college students report food insecurity and are going to bed hungry. Shocking, right? A friend sitting next to you in class could be going hungry and you'll never know. The good news? HFC is here to help. The Hawk's Nest has non-perishable food items available for students experiencing hunger. And you can help too. By donating non-perishable food items or money, you can be sure that 100% of your donation goes directly back into your college community. Donate today and fill a friend's plate. Go to hfcc.edu and search Hawk's Nest.
Listener-supported, non-commercial radio from the campus of Henry Ford College. This is WHFR Dearborn.
Lux presents Hollywood. Lever Brothers Company, the makers of Lux Toilet Soap, bring you the Lux Radio Theater, starring Gene Crane and Glenn Langan in Margie. Ladies and gentlemen, your producer, Mr. William Keeley.
Greetings from Hollywood, ladies and gentlemen. For me, and I think probably for you, the memories of high school are the gayest, pleasantest, and most nostalgic of all. And tonight, in that nostalgic vein, we take you back to 1928, a year of raccoon coats, flagpole sitters, miniature golf, and rumble seat romances. A crazy, colorful, romantic period that forms the backdrop of our play, from 20th Century Fox's screen hit, Margie. You'll meet the original stars, Gene Crane as Margie, and Glenn Langan, one of Hollywood's most promising young leading men, in his first appearance on our stage. It's curtain time, and here's Act One of Margie, starring Gene Crane in the title role, and Glenn Langan as Mr. Fontaine, with Jane Darwell as Grandma, and Barbara Lawrence as Mary Bell.
My inspiration days are never blue.
It's a rainy Saturday afternoon, and in the attic of a pleasant little house in a pleasant little town, a young mother and her teenage daughter are rummaging through a dusty collection of trunks and boxes. The daughter has discovered an old phonograph and a carton of records.
Can you imagine, Mother? The phonograph actually still works.
Well, after all, dear, it's not quite an antique yet.
You used to have to wind this thing every time you wanted to play a record?
Oh, we put up with a lot of hardships in those days. My goodness, will you look at these?
Well, what are they?
Just an old pair of bloomers I used to wear when I was about your age.
Gee, they're hideous. I mean, well, they're so bulky.
Well, they were quite a problem now and then.
Mother, tell me all about the crazy and idiotic things you did when you were my age.
Well, I went to Central High School just like you were doing.
Well, tell me about it. Tell me about some simply terrific event that happened in your life.
Well, I'm not so sure a terrific event in 1928 will seem so terrific to you in 1947.
Oh, Mother, now you're just being difficult.
Well, let's look at my old photograph album. Now, here, this is a picture of Johnny Green.
What's that thing he's wearing?
Why, a raccoon coat, of course. He was the only boy in school with a raccoon coat and a Stutz Blackhawk.
A what?
It was a kind of automobile, dear.
You went for him, huh?
Oh, I went for him all right. But it was Mary Bell who had him hogtied.
Mary Bell?
She used to live next door to us. Well, one day after school...
Johnny, you're terrible. If you keep me waiting like this again,
Banana oil. Get in the car.
Oh, I promised we'd take home Margie, too.
Oh, for crying out loud. Do we always have to drag Margie McDuff along?
Well, I can't help it. After all, she does live next door to me.
Oh, boy, what a pain in the neck.
Say, did you see the new French teacher?
Yeah, I saw him.
Is he good looking? His name's Fontaine.
Look, if Margie doesn't show up in 2 minutes, we're going to have to go.
Shh, there she is. Hi, Margie.
Oh, hello, Mary Bell. Hi, Johnny.
Well, come on, McDuff. Don't just stand there.
I can't.
Well, what do you mean you can't?
Mary Bell, come here a minute. Oh, please.
What's the matter?
Mary Bell, please.
Oh, just a minute, Johnny. What are you so flustered about?
Not so loud.
Huh?
Do you have a safety pin, Mary Bell?
What do you want a safety pin for?
The elastic in my bloomers. It just broke. I felt it.
I think I've got one in my purse.
Hey, what's the matter, McDuff? What are you standing so funny for?
Take him away. Oh, please take him away.
Here's the safety pin. You want us to wait for you?
No, just go on home. And if you dare tell Johnny Green what's the matter, I'll kill you.
Oh, I won't. Goodbye, Margie.
Well, where's she going?
Well, Margie just decided to wait for something.
Oh, what's she waiting for, the fall?
Oh, Johnny, you're a scream. You don't know how funny that is.
Here I am, Margie. Hey, Margie.
Roy.
Gosh, I'm glad you waited for me. How come you didn't go home with Mary Bell?
Oh, because I didn't, that's all.
What's the matter, Margie? Anything wrong?
Oh, Roy,
you shouldn't do that.
What?
Go around with safety pins in your mouth. I knew a kid once who swallowed a safety pin.
Roy, and... I wish you'd go home.
Can't I go home with you?
No, I've got some things to do in the library.
Okay, I'll go with you.
No.
Well, what are you walking so funny for, Margie? Anything I can do?
Yes. Go home and don't bother me.
Well, gee whiz. Okay.
Oh, hello, Margie.
Hello, Miss Palmer.
I have those books for you for your debate.
Oh, yes, the debate. Can I pick them up in a minute, Miss Palmer? I want to go over there in the corner.
What's over there in the corner?
I've got to hitch up. I've got to catch up on my... political philosophy.
Of course, dear, run along.
Thank you.
Oh, hello, Ralph. Well, how does our new French teacher like Central High?
Well, so far, very much, but it's really surprising, Isabel. You should see my classes. Standing room only. I never heard of such a passion to acquire French.
Girls, mostly, I suppose.
Yes, I believe they are in the majority at that.
You've been the talk of the school all day long. The girls think you're too darling for words.
Oh, come on, though, Isabel. Cut it out. Say, this is quite a nice library you've got here.
Would you like a book?
Yes, I would.
Help yourself, Ralph. We still trust the faculty.
Oh, hello. What's the matter?
Nothing. I just didn't know you were there.
Well, I didn't know you were there until I took these books off the shelf. Then I saw you on the other side of the rack. Do you like poetry, too?
Poetry?
Isn't there poetry on your side?
Political philosophy.
Oh, I see.
But I'm all finished with what I came in here for. Goodbye, Mr. Fontaine.
Well, wait a minute. You're in one of my classes, aren't you?
Yes, Mr. Fontaine.
Well, do you two know each other?
Yes, Isabel. I call Miss Palmer Isabel. I've been good friends of hers for some time.
Margie's our champion debater. We're very proud of her. Why, she's the youngest student in her class.
Well, that's fine. As a matter of fact, Margie, the principal asked me to be chairman of the next debate. That's Wednesday, isn't it?
Yes, Mr. Fontaine.
Good. Well, if you excuse me now, I'm looking for a certain volume of Wordsworth.
Why the long face, Margie?
Why did you have to tell him that I'm a debater and younger than other people? And when a person meets another person for practically the first time, she doesn't want to be known as a debater and younger than other people.
Oh, but I'm sure he'll appreciate your being so smart. Don't you think he's cute?
I don't know. I don't generally notice how teachers look.
Well, he is cute. Your books are on my desk, Margie. Good night, dear.
Good night, Miss Palmer.
I'm sure glad I waited for you, Margie. But I figured if I sat there long enough, you'd come out sometime.
You're very nice to carry my books, Roy.
Oh, that's okay. Say, when you came out of the library, who was that opened the door for you?
Mr. Fontaine, the new French teacher.
What did he want?
He merely happened to open the door for me.
I don't trust Frenchmen.
He isn't French.
Well, then why does he teach it?
Oh, Roy, sometimes you act just like... But that's Papa.
Huh?
Papa! 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 Oh, golly, that's awful.
What's awful?
Oh, that car that just went by. That was my father. I miss seeing him.
You know, Margie, I've been to your house several times, and I've never met your father.
Well, he doesn't live with us.
Why doesn't he? I mean, are your folks divorced or something?
Oh, of course not. My mother died when I was a baby, and ever since I've lived with my grandmother.
Well, doesn't your grandmother like your father or something?
Well, of course she does. It's only... Well, for goodness sake, Roy, I don't see how it's any of your business.
Okay, okay.
It's just that Papa was all broken up when my mother died, and he went away for a long time. And then when he came back, he just started living by himself. And it's better that way, too, because, well, after all, what does a businessman know about girls?
Oh.
Papa's a very wonderful man, and we're very fond of each other. And he has a terrific business, so we can't always see each other all the time, so we try to see each other on Wednesday afternoon.
Oh.
Of course, he pays for everything, but, well, I mean, Papa's a widower.
Oh, yeah, he would be. I mean, if your mother... Yeah, of course, see what you mean.
Well, come on, Roy. I gotta get home sometime. Well, thanks a lot for walking home with me, Roy. I guess you better be going now. Goodbye.
Oh, I'm in no hurry.
Oh, well, would you like to come in and say hello to my grandmother?
Sure, why not?
Okay, wait here on the porch a second.
Pretty late, aren't you, Margie?
I know, Grandma, but I couldn't help it. You see,
I know. Mirabelle stopped in and told me all about it. I've told you a dozen times to fix those bloomers. Naturally, they fell down.
Oh, Grandma, please. He's on the porch.
Who's on the porch?
You can come in, Roy.
Hello, Mrs. McSweeney.
Come on in, Roy, and sit down. Sit down.
Thanks, Mrs. McSweeney. You know, I've always been meaning to ask you about your fireplace here in the living room.
What's the matter with that fireplace?
Oh, I don't mean the fireplace. I mean, that old lock and chain hanging up on the mantle here.
Young man, I lashed myself to the railing of the White House with that lock and chain. It took four cops and a hacksaw to pry me loose. I spent 2 days in jail.
Oh, gee whiz, what for?
For a very noble cause.
Oh, really, Grandma? I don't think Mr. Hornsdale's very interested in politics.
Then it's high time he took an interest. Young man, I was campaigning for the right of women to vote. They called us suffragettes.
Oh, yeah, I read about that. My father says a woman's place is in the home.
You tell your father to wake up. A woman's place is wherever she makes it. Now, I've raised Margie to take a deep interest in politics. And someday, I hope she'll be the first woman president of the United States.
Oh.
Grandma, please.
A woman president couldn't be any worse than some of the men we've had.
Well, Roy, I know you're in a hurry to get home. It's so frightfully late as it is. Well, goodbye, Roy. I'll see you tomorrow.
Call on us again, young man.
Yeah, well, goodbye, Mrs. McSweeney. Margie.
I'm sorry you have to rush off.
Oh, I don't have to go yet.
But thanks again, Roy. Goodbye. Oh, Grandma.
What's the matter with you?
Don't you understand? I don't want to be the first woman president of the United States.
For heaven's sakes, why not?
Not even if you paid me. And I wish you wouldn't keep telling that to people.
Oh, now, honey, what's wrong?
Well, first Miss Palmer tells people that I'm a debater and younger than other people. And then you have to go and tell Roy about that you were chained to the White House and sent to jail. And then about me being the first woman president. Oh, he'll probably never come back.
I bet a cookie he phones you right after dinner.
Do you think so? Grandma, in your opinion, is Roy's Adam's apple very noticeable?
Why not? Oh, dear.
You're just being nice. You can't help noticing it, I guess. It hits you right in the eye. Oh, well, I guess Roy's better than nobody.
Well, you wouldn't want a silly, vain, conceited boy like Johnny Green for a beau, would you?
Johnny? Oh, yes. Yes, Grandma. I certainly would. Cynthia,
Still working on that debate, Miss Margie? Or are you just listening to that phonograph of yours?
Oh, I'm working, Cynthia.
Your grandma said the time you was in bed. Why are you waving your arms around like that for?
I'm rehearsing my gestures.
You ain't rehearsing, honey. You shadowboxing.
Cynthia, do you know anything about Frenchmen?
All I know is that they eat frog legs and snails.
Oh, I'm sure Mr. Fontaine wouldn't eat snails. Oh, every girl in school's got a crush on him already.
Including you.
I've got more sense than to get a crush on a teacher. Fat chance I'd have anyway. Cynthia, do you think a woman could learn to love a man with an Adam's apple?
Well, a friend of mine, her husband's got a garter and she's got 7 kids. Don't seem to trouble her none. Psst, come over here to the window, Miss Margie. Look down there.
What?
There on Maribel's porch. She and that raccoon coat boy. My, they've been kissing this couple. Been at it most of the evening.
I know.
You've been peeking too?
Of course not. I only meant... Well, anyway, how can people waste their time like that? Oh, I think it's disgusting.
Mm-hmm. Well, good night, Miss Margie.
Good night, Cynthia. It's really not so noticeable. Not when Roy wears a high collar. Oh, well.
I'll be out in a sec, Roy. Look, Grandma, his father let Roy have their Model T today.
Well, that's fine. Here you are, Margie, a spare handkerchief.
Oh, I won't need one, Grandma.
No, but Roy will. That boy always has the sniffles.
Golly, I almost forgot.
Huh?
My ice skates. Everybody's going ice skating after the debate. Grandma, do you suppose maybe Papa would come and hear me debate? I mean, it is Wednesday anyway, and all it'd mean is going to the high school instead of here, and he could hear me debate.
I think it's a wonderful idea.
Then ask him, Grandma. Call him now.
I do nothing of the sort. You stop by his office and ask him yourself.
But I don't think Papa likes me to stop in his office. He's always so busy.
Oh, rubbish. Now you do as I say.
Well, all right. And don't forget, Grandma, the high school auditorium at 3 o'clock.
You're sure quiet, Margie. Golly, don't worry about your father. You left a message for him, didn't you?
Yes. It wasn't his fault he wasn't in his office.
Sure is funny, Margie. I never knew your father was an undertaker.
He's a mortician. And what's so funny about it?
Oh, I just mean I didn't know he had his own funeral parlors here on Ridge Street.
It's not what you meant at all.
Well, I'm sure it's a very interesting business. I'll bet it's a good business, too. I mean, well, gee whiz, people are always dying.
He can't help being in the business he's in.
Oh, it's all right. I don't mind, honest.
Yes, you do. Everybody minds. I mind. Oh, I'd give anything on earth if he was just a bricklayer or something.
Do you suppose he'll come and hear you debate?
How do I know? Papa can hardly plan anything. It's just like you said. People are always dying.
Ladies and gentlemen, you've just heard Miss Margie MacDuff, captain of the Central High debating team. The next speaker, for the negative, is Mr. Arnold Harrison of Polytechnic High School.
Mr. Chairman, honorable judges, worthy opponents, and ladies and gentlemen, my worthy opponents, the Central High Orator, has spoken to you of the high cost of keeping the Marines in Nicaragua.
Boy, oh boy, Maribel, I've had about all of that I can stand.
But where will we go, Johnny?
Ice skating.
Oh, but we can't. We're supposed to stay in the auditorium and listen.
Not me.
Anyway, the orchestra won't start at the skating rink until 4 o'clock.
Well, we'll just stand here in the corridor then. If I go back in the auditorium, I'll fall asleep.
Somebody's coming.
I beg your pardon. I beg your pardon. Is there a debate going on in there?
And how?
Well, thank you, young man. Thank you very much.
Hey, can you imagine somebody wanting to hear that stuff?
Johnny, do you know who that was?
Who?
Margie's father, Mr. Angus MacDuff. He's an undertaker.
Oh, poor Margie. A grandmother who's nuts and an undertaker for an old man.
Oh, you.
Of course not. Let me compare now the record of the Nicaraguan people during the 10 years preceding the arrival of our Marines with the notable achievements since made in that troubled land. lie as far back as 1900.
And now, again in rebuttal, Miss Margie MacDuff.
Ladies and gentlemen, the strongest argument that our opponents have been able to advance this afternoon is that American occupation will raise the standard of living of the Nicaraguans and enable them to buy American plumbing. Ladies and gentlemen, would you turn in liberty for a bathtub? Would you? Where is the conscience and the heart of America? If we can say, give us liberty or give us death, then we have no right to tell the people of Nicaragua that they should take bathtubs instead of freedom. Ladies and gentlemen, we fought in 76, in 1860, and in 1918 to make the world safe for democracy. And we do it again and again. Don't let us ever forget our brave past. Don't let the flag of the United States mean bathtubs and plumbing instead of liberty. I say to you, take the Marines out of Nicaragua and bring them home to defend liberty always, but never plumbing. Thank you.
Gosh, Margie, you are wonderful.
Jamie, he's here. My father's here.
Where, Margie? Where?
In the fourth row, with my grandma and Mr. Fontaine.
You know, Angus, sitting here and watching those children ice skate, I've a mind to rent a pair myself. Well, are you glad you came, Mr. Fontaine?
I wouldn't have missed this for anything. And I might easily have, Mrs. McSweeney, if you hadn't introduced yourself at school.
I had to introduce myself. Margie's got a crush on you.
Well, Mr. McDuff, your daughter's almost as good a skater as she is a debater. You know, Margie would look awfully nice in a skating outfit like Mary Bell Tennis.
Well, buy one, Grandma. Buy one. Just send me the bill.
You approve of a young girl exposing her bare legs, Mr. Fontaine?
I certainly do. Always keep in mind, Mrs. McSweeney, that I studied in Paris, France.
She's right. She's right. The child is right.
Agnes, what are you mumbling about?
We should take the Marines out of Nicaragua. She's absolutely right. Yes, sir. I'll write my congressman about it. Might even send a telegram to Senator Whipple.
Good.
Why did we send the Marines down there in the first place? You tell me that, sir. You just tell me that.
I'm sorry I'm such a terrible ice skater, Margie. Maybe when they play a slower tune, I'll do better.
You're doing beautifully, Roy. Isn't it fun?
No. Look. Look at Mary Bell and Johnny.
Oh, they do skate divinely.
Couple of show-offs. Gosh, Margie, that sure was a swell speech you made this afternoon.
Oh, thank you, Roy.
And you look, well, you look so sort of intense and full of fire.
I did.
Hi, Margie. Hello, Roy.
Hello, Mary Bell. Isn't he eyes divine? Oh, hello, Johnny.
Hi, McDuff.
Well, I won't be long, Johnny.
Where's she going?
Oh, she's got to get another lace for her shoe.
Well, just don't stand here, Johnny. Can't you see Margie wants you to skate with her?
Oh, don't be silly, Roy. Well, he doesn't want to skate with me.
Oh, I don't mind. Come on, McDuff.
Why, Johnny.
Rank imperialism, that's what it is. Why don't we let the Nicaraguans mind their own business?
Oh, forget it, Angus.
Huh?
Look at your daughter. She's skating with that Johnny Green.
Ah, she's waving at us.
Hi, Margie. You're doing fine.
Wait a minute. They've stopped skating. Something's wrong with Margie.
She's holding her stomach. I'll bet it was those hot dogs she and Roy were eating before.
Oh, what's the matter, Margie? You sick?
No. Just go away, Johnny, please.
But if you don't feel good, you better hang on to me. Hey, Mary Bell.
I've got to sit down.
Here? On the ice?
I've got to. And go away.
Well, gee whiz, okay.
Mary Bell, stand in front of me.
Oh, please. Margie, you're losing something. Look.
I know. I never did fix them. What'll I do?
Gosh, I don't know. Look, they're coming. Your grandma and your father and Mr. Fontaine.
Mr. Fontaine, gee, are you lucky.
Hey, what's happened? Is she badly hurt?
Oh, it looks like something fell down. I mean, she fell down, I guess. Oh, Margie, sit on him. Sit on him.
I'm trying to. Oh.
It's probably your ankle. Pardon me, please.
Let me in there. Clear out of here, everybody. Go on. Shoo.
Oh, my. It is my ankle. My ankle hurts.
Well, I'll get a doctor.
Just relax, Angus.
I've got a muffler. I can bind her ankle, temporarily at least.
Now, Margie, stop squirming. What are you looking for?
Come here, Grandma.
Well?
Grandma. My bloomers.
Your what?
Grandma.
Where are they?
I'm sitting on them, I think. But if I get up...
Well, for heaven's sake.
Maybe while Daddy and Mr. Fontaine are fixing my ankle, I can sort of slip them into your coat.
Well, hurry up.
Get ready, Grandma. Grandma, they're gone.
What do you know? Angus, I think you and Mr. Fontaine better get a doctor after all. I'll stay right here with Margie while you talk.
Johnny,
wasn't it awful?
I can't figure out what happened to her, Mary Bell. She was skating fine, and all of a sudden, she kind of lost her equilibrium.
You said it, Johnny. Her best embroidered ones, too.
We continue with the second act of Margie, starring Jean Crane in the title role and Glenn Langan as Mr. Fontaine. Well, let's leave 1928 for a brief moment and return to the attic in the pleasant little house where the young Bobby Soxer continues to press her mother for the secrets of her youth.
Holy cow, Mother. You mean to say you lost your bloomers in front of all those people at the skating rink?
I'm afraid I did, darling. But I was hoping desperately that no one besides Grandma and Mary Bell knew the awful truth. The others had a vague idea that I'd sprained my ankle or something. Apart from the bloomers, I'd had a very happy day. That night after dinner...
Well, Margie, you certainly have had a big day.
Oh, a wonderful day, Grandma.
Call losing your best bloomers wonderful?
Golly, no. But I did get to skate with Johnny Green. And Papa came to the debate, and Mr. Fontaine. And Papa stayed for dinner and kissed me goodnight twice.
I'm afraid you got your father all worked up over Nicaragua.
He seemed very interested.
I still wonder what happened to your bloomers. They couldn't have just walked away.
Oh, Grandma, please, let's not talk about it. I'll never be able to face anyone again.
Now, who on earth?
Could it be Roy? Or maybe it's just Mary Bell.
Who is it, Cynthia?
It's that Franklin business, Sweeney. It's Mr. Fontaine.
Oh, no. No, Grandma. Just look at me in my bathrobe.
Well, come on in, Mr. Fontaine.
But I'll bet he saw. I mean, this afternoon, my...
Well, how nice of you to stop by.
Good evening, Mrs. McSweeney. Hello, Margie. I happened to be taking a walk in the neighborhood. I often take a walk after dinner, and it occurred to me to drop in and see how the invalid was getting along. Well, how is your ankle, Margie?
Oh, it's fine. It hardly hurts at all.
Well, I'm delighted. After all, it'd be certainly a shame not to be able to go to the prom next week because of a sprained ankle.
Have a chair, Mr. Fontaine.
Thank you.
Margie, if your foot's really better, why don't you go to your room and get Mr. Fontaine's muffler?
Oh, yes. It was really very nice of you to bind my ankle with your lovely muffler, Mr. Fontaine.
Well, get it. That's probably what he stopped by for.
Oh, Margie, just a minute. Here.
A package? For me?
Yes, in the excitement this afternoon, I believe you lost your handkerchief.
Oh. I'll get your muffler.
A handkerchief, Mr. Fontaine?
Well...
That was very tactful, thank you.
Remember, Mrs. McSweeney, I studied in Paris, France.
Margie! Hey, Margie!
Oh, hello, Mary Bell.
I just saw the light go on in your room. What did Mr. Fontaine want? That was him, wasn't it?
Oh, he just came to call on me.
But aren't you excited? I mean, gosh, Mr. Fontaine, did you know he was coming?
Well, naturally. People don't let people call on people unless they have permission.
Did he bring you anything? I mean, candy or flowers?
Oh, yes. He He brought me a lovely gift.
Margie, what?
Mary Bell, when a person receives an intimate gift from a gentleman friend, she doesn't go around blabbing about what it is.
Intimate? What do you mean? What did he bring you?
Oh, something.
Margie, do you suppose Mr. Fontaine is going to invite you to the prom?
The prom? Well, I really don't know what Mr. Fontaine's motives are. Excuse me, Mary Bell. Men hate to be kept waiting, you know. The prom? Oh, as if anyone else had asked me but Roy Hornsdale. But what if he does? Oh, Mr. Fontaine. Oh, gosh.
Margie?
I'm coming, Grandma.
Take it easy. Mr. Fontaine just left. He said you can bring his muffler to school tomorrow. Margie, did you hear me?
Yes, Grandma. I heard.
Margie, why aren't you dressed? Didn't you tell me the prom starts at 8:30?
I'm not going to the prom, Grandma. That was Roy on the phone just now.
He's got the sniffles again.
Oh, it's his tonsils, too. His folks won't let him go. Oh, it doesn't matter. I just as soon stay home.
Well, Mary Bell's going to the prom with Johnny. I'm sure they'd be glad to take you along.
Without an escort? I'd rather die. Besides, Johnny doesn't like me tagging along even to come home from school.
Look out the window. She's coming here.
Who?
Mary Bell. Margie, 20 years from now, you'll look at Johnny Green and you'll wonder what you ever saw in him.
20 years from now, I'll be an old woman and it won't matter. I'm coming, Mary Bell.
She'll just gloat over you. Don't you dare tell her what happened to Roy.
Well, it's true, isn't it?
You could pretend, couldn't you?
Hello, Mary Bell.
Margie, I just simply had to come over. Look, Johnny sent them. Imagine 2 orchids. Oh, hello, Mrs. McSweeney.
Hello, you flapper.
Oh. Orchids. Well, I suppose you'll be going with Roy, huh?
No, his cold's worse.
Oh, Margie.
But I'm still going.
You are? But who with?
Oh, you'll find out.
Margie McDuff, I bet you've been holding out on me right along. But it couldn't be, not with him. Not with Mr. Fontaine.
They say Frenchmen dance very well.
Oh, gosh. Well, I really better get back. I'm going to take a bubble bath in a simply terrific perfume I have, which absolutely is guaranteed to intoxicate men by its fragrance. Goodbye, Margie.
Goodbye, Mary Bell.
Mr. Fontaine. Gosh.
I'm going up to my room, Grandma.
Yes, dear. I'll get the phone. Hello?
Hello? Hello, Grandma. This is Angus. I hope I didn't disturb anybody.
Angus McDuff, you don't have to apologize to call up here. What's on your mind?
Why, not a thing, Grandma, not a thing. I, just wondering how everyone is.
Say, hold the line a second. Margie! Margie! I just wanted to be sure the coast was clear, Angus.
What do you mean, Grandma? Incidentally, you'll be very interested to know I just threw a salesman out of my office.
You did? Why?
Tried to sell me a gross of hand-dipped candles made in Nicaragua. Oh, I told him a thing or two. Made it the point of our bayonets, I told him. Don't talk to me about candles, I said, until you can bring me word that our Marines have been withdrawn, sir.
Were the candles any good?
Well, what do I care? Nothing is good, madam, if it betrays the heart and conscience of America.
Angus, have you got anything special to do tonight?
We Americans fought in 76. In... what do you mean, have I anything to do?
Well, have you?
Well, Mr. Van Buren of the Forest Acres Mortician Service was coming over to discuss a merger of our interests.
Well, how about merging your interests with Margie's?
Huh?
Angus, she's had her heart set on going to the high school prom tonight. Only this boy she was going with can't make it.
Well, that's a little out of my line, Grandma. I haven't danced in 20 years.
Who cares?
Well, I could see Van Buren on Monday.
Good. Now, don't be later than 8 o'clock, and don't you dare show up without a corsage.
And Margie likes gardenias, doesn't she?
Gardenias, my foot. Orchids. 3 orchids.
Yes, Grandma. 8 o'clock with 3 orchids.
Thanks, Angus. Goodbye. Margie! Margie! Come down here. I've got news for you.
I simply don't understand, Grandma. Who's coming to take me to the prom?
Now stop asking questions and get into your formal.
Grandma, if you called someone and made him take me, I'll never forgive you.
He called me. He's a great admirer of yours.
It's not Joe Kelly, Grandma. He's only 15 and his hands are always clammy.
He's much older than 15, and his hands are not clammy.
Grandma, do you remember that bubble bath I gave you for Christmas?
Of course.
Would you let me use a little? Mary Bell's taking a bubble bath, and she says it simply intoxicates men with its exotic fragrance, and so I thought
Well,
that...
help yourself, honey, but hurry up.
If you don't hold still, Miss Margie, I'll never get you hooked up.
Oh, I'm sorry, Cynthia. Grandma, do you think I look sophisticated?
Well, yes, for your age.
The doorbell?
I'll go down.
Grandma, who is it? You've simply got to tell me.
You'll find out. He's on time anyway.
Don't worry, honey. Soon as she's downstairs, I'll go down, too, and take a peek. And I'll tell you who it is.
Well, this is a surprise.
I hope you'll excuse me, but I was driving by, so I...
Well, you look very nice in your tuxedo, Mr. Fontaine. And that corsage is lovely.
I'm about to call for Mrs. Palmer. You know, the school librarian. I'm taking her to the prom tonight. I thought I'd leave this for Margie. It's her French theme. She was anxious to know what grade I'd given her.
What grade did you give her?
Hey, of course. You know, Margie's an exceptionally bright child, Mrs. McSweeney. An enchanting child, I might add.
Child, indeed. I doubt if you're 8 years older.
Well, frankly, I did lie a little bit about my age to get on the faculty here. Well, I suppose Margie's going to the prom. Who's taking her?
Her father.
Oh? Well, just between us, I wish I were. You know, it's a very strange thing. I've never seen a girl...
Him, Miss Margie, that Frenchman. My, my, and is he dressed up and with flowers, too.
But it can't be, Mr. Fontaine. Oh, Cynthia... Do you suppose Grandma bribed him to take me on account of I didn't have anyone else?
He don't need no bribe, honey. He's a young man, ain't he? And you a pretty girl, ain't you? Child, I've been telling you that all along.
Do you really think he likes me? Oh, I've had a crush on him ever since the day he came to Central High. My diary's simply full of him, Cynthia.
Well, it looks like a two-way crush to me, honey. Now, go on, get out there. Go on.
Good evening. How pretty you look.
Oh, thank you. You look very pretty, too. I mean, you look...
Excuse me, telephone.
Oh, what a beautiful corsage. Why, how perfectly lovely of you to bring me flowers.
Margie, I...
Oh, they're just beautiful.
Margie, this French theme of yours, I thought that perhaps you... Well, Margie, that...
For you, Margie, it's Helen Day.
Excuse me a second, Mr. Fontaine. Oh, I know I'm going to wake up and find this is all just a dream.
Margie, you don't understand.
Hello, Helen.
Mrs. McSweeney.
You don't have to tell me. I know. She thinks you're taking her.
But what am I going to do?
Well, it's all my fault. We've simply got to think of something.
And mine are camellias, Helen. Oh, they're simply gorgeous. Look, Helen, I have to fly out. Mr. Fontaine's waiting for me. Okay, I'll see you at the prom. Goodbye. Helen thought I couldn't go to the prom on account of Roy's tonsils, Mr. Fontaine. But when I told her you were taking me, why, she was just speechless. Oh, this card on my corsage. I'm going to put this card in my scrapbook and keep it forever. Why, I'll even... The card, it says, Miss Palmer.
I'm sorry, Margie. That's what I was trying to explain to you. You see, I stopped by merely to bring you your French theme. It's excellent.
Thank you.
Margie.
Let her go.
Oh, this is terrible. Look... I'll call Miss Palmer up and explain. She'll understand.
No, now you just run along, Mr. Fontaine. Margie wouldn't go with you now in a million years.
Margie! Hey, Margie!
Hello, Mary Bell.
Margie, Helen just phoned and said Mr. Fontaine was over at your house now.
Oh, absolutely. He's here.
Well, aren't you thrilled to death? Margie, listen. Why don't you and Mr. Fontaine sit with us tonight?
Well, it's okay by me, but he's probably made other arrangements.
Well, go down and ask him. He won't mind just so he's sitting next to you. Gosh, Margie, how'd you ever do it?
Oh, honestly, Mary Bell, you're so funny.
What?
You're so gullible, just as bad as Helen. She fell for it, too.
Fell for what?
Oh, honestly, it's just a scream. Well, I'm not going with Mr. Fontaine. I just pretended he was taking me just for fun. Oh, you don't really think I'd be seen at a prom with a teacher, do you?
But didn't he bring your corsage? Helen said...
Oh, that was absolutely priceless.
Well, I pretended to think they were for me, just to see what he would do. And he was so fussed and so embarrassed that it was all I could do to keep from bursting out laughing. Honestly, Mary Bell, he was a scream.
Margie McDuff, I just don't understand you.
Oh, I wish I were dead. I wish I were dead.
We pause now for station identification. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Curtain rises on Act Three of Margie, starring Jean Crane as the lady in question and Glenn Langan as Mr. Fontaine.
Margie, you've been my inspiration. Days are never blue.
Once again, we swing briefly back to the present, where, upstairs in the attic, mother and daughter comb through the events of 20 years ago. From the album of photographs, Joyce has just taken a picture. Her mother smiles reflectively as she looks at it.
Yes, Joyce, this is a picture of the 1928 high school prom.
Oh, and you're not even there. Oh, gee, what an awful break, not being able to go to the prom.
Oh, but I did go. And there's my picture, see?
That's you? Golly, but who brought you?
Well, about 10 minutes after Mr. Fontaine had left the house, two other gentlemen arrived on our front porch. One of them was Roy Hornsdale.
Well, it's you, Mr. McDuff. Good evening.
Good evening, young man. Good evening.
Gosh, is that your car, that log limousine?
It's one of my cars, yes.
Gosh, how come you're calling on Margie on Saturday?
A man does not call on his daughter.
Oh, Margie says you always call Wednesdays. You bringing her flowers?
Yes.
Hey, you're not bringing her flowers left over from a...
Young man, they have an expression in Nicaragua that very aptly describes a person of your ill manners. It goes... Oh, what am I wasting my time talking to you for? Who are you, anyway?
I'm Roy Hornsdale. Gee whiz, Mr. McDuff, don't you remember me? I was at the skating rink the afternoon Margie hurt her ankle.
Oh.
Hasn't she told you about me?
No. And either you ring that doorbell or let me.
Oh, she's a wonderful girl, Mr. McDuff.
I'm well aware of that fact.
I was supposed to take her to the prom tonight, but... I got a cold.
Then go to bed.
My folks said I could come over as long as we didn't go out and I kept warm.
Does anyone believe in coming in? What is this, a convention?
Oh, hello, Grandma.
What are you doing here, Roy?
Good evening, Mrs. McSweeney. I figured since Margie's not going to the prom...
And what makes you think she's not going to the prom?
Huh?
Cynthia? Take Roy into the kitchen and get him some hot milk or something.
Milk? Milk?
Get in here, Mr. Hornsdale.
Margie! He's here, honey! Now, listen, Angus, I should explain, but I haven't got time. Margie's been crying. Now, don't ask why. Just be very tactful.
Tactful? Did that sniveling boy in there make her cry?
Oh, no. Roy's quite innocent.
Oh.
Hello, Papa.
Margie, well, come on down, my dear. Oh, you look beautiful. Simply beautiful.
Why, thank you. Papa, you're all dressed up.
Well, you wouldn't want him to go to the prom in a business suit, would you? He's taking you. That was the big surprise.
Honestly, Papa, you're taking me? Are you sure you want to?
Honey, I've waited over 16 years for the privilege. Here.
Orchids. Papa, 3 orchids.
I hope you won't be disappointed, Margie. I'm not a very good dancer.
Oh, Papa, I'd rather be going to the dance with you than anyone else in the whole world. Excuse me while I get my coat, Papa.
Well, Angus, what are you thinking?
I was thinking, Grandma, that my daughter is just as pretty and every bit as sweet as yours ever was.
I'm ready, Papa. Good night, Grandma.
Good night, dear. Gee whiz, is Margie going out? She's gone out.
Oh, gee whiz, I came here to read poetry to her. Who am I going to read poetry to now?
Cynthia?
Not to me, Mr. Hornsdale, and finish your milk.
Helen, Helen, look.
Look. Where, Maribel?
It's Margie. And her father. How you've changed, Mr. Fontaine.
I beg your pardon?
Come on, Papa.
Did you see him, Johnny? Her father.
But I want to explain what happened tonight.
It doesn't matter, honey. Whatever happened was a wonderful break for me. Now, let's see if we can find a table.
But how come Margie came with her old man?
Why, I suppose she wanted to be sure of dancing with someone, Johnny.
Hey, come to think of it, it's the first time I've ever seen Margie.
Huh? And just what does that mean?
I don't know. Baby.
Is this table all right, Papa? Are you sure?
Oh, this is fine, dear, fine. I'll get some refreshments and...
Good evening, Margie.
Hello, Mrs. Palmer.
Good evening, Margie. Evening, Mr. Macduff. Nice party, isn't it?
Oh, yes, yes. Yes, indeed. Who is that with Mr. Fontaine?
Miss Palmer, our librarian.
Oh, very attractive.
She's well-preserved for her age.
Margie, that's a waltz they're playing.
Yes, Papa.
Shall we try it?
Oh, I'd love to. You know, this is the first time that you've ever danced with me.
Second time.
When?
When you were about 3 months old.
I beg your pardon, but may I cut in, sir?
Well, by all means, young man. By all means.
Johnny.
Well, you sure had them all fooled, Margie. They thought you were coming with Mr. Fontaine.
Why, how absurd.
Yeah, that's what I told them. I said, why would she want to come with some drip from the faculty when he...
May I cut in?
Oh, for Pete's sake, where did you come from?
May I?
Well, yeah. Yeah, I... Well, see you later, Margie.
Thanks, Johnny.
Not even one little smile, Margie?
I don't feel like smiling.
Why?
Oh, I made such a fool of myself. You're just trying to be nice. You don't have to dance with me.
Between you and me, Margie... I'd rather dance with you than anyone else in this room.
If you only knew how I feel. If you... What did you say?
I said I'd rather dance with you than anyone else in this room. And I meant it.
Anyone?
Anyone.
Oh.
Look, Maribel. Margie's doing all right.
Oh, it's just a waltz. Who wants to waltz?
Besides, he's just taking pity on her, like Johnny did.
Oh, I sure wish Mr. Fontaine would take pity on me. Well, what do you know? Johnny's taking pity on her again.
I did it to you, Johnny. I guess you can do it to me.
I didn't think I'd see you so soon, Johnny.
Hey, gee whiz, Margie. Where you been all my life?
Right under your nose, I guess.
Hey, you're sure a smooth dancer. How about doing this more often?
Well, I think that would be just one. Oh, no!
Margie, what's the matter? What's wrong?
Oh, no, not tonight.
Margie, you look so funny. You're not going to faint, are you?
That's a very good idea.
Margie!
Well, Joyce, that was the last time I ever wore bloomers. I was about to throw them away a few years ago, but your father insisted I keep them.
Oh, Mother, to think that it happened again at the prom.
How perfectly ghastly it must have been for you.
Oh, it was, darling. Ghastly.
But what happened? Who finally got to take you home? Grandpa or who?
Why, your father, of course.
Hey, where is everybody?
We're up here, Daddy, in the attic.
Hello, funny face.
Hello, Daddy.
Hello, sweet. Well, what have you two been doing up here, hmm?
We've had more fun, Daddy. Mother's been telling me all about the beau she had when she went to Central High School.
Oh, she has, has she?
Look at this snapshot of Johnny Green. Mm. Oh, he sounds simply terrific. Do you remember him?
Yes, dear. He was a drip. A drip of the first water.
Ralph, dear, and that doesn't sound so well coming from the principal of Central High School.
You heard me. I said drip, darling.
But where is he now? What does he do?
He's a plumber. He lives over in Glenley, I think. He works for a fellow named Roy Hornsdale.
You don't say. Oh, look, Daddy, all these old phonograph records. Listen to this one. How about it, Daddy? Can you jive?
Well, I can't exactly say I'm good at it, but I'd sure like to try.
Here we go.
Hey, take it easy.
Where's Papa, darling? Didn't he come home with you?
No, he was detained. The ambassador will be home for dinner, though.
Ambassador? You mean he got it?
Take a look at the evening paper. I put it right there in the trunk.
Angus MacDuff appointed new ambassador to Nicaragua. Well, I'll be darned.
And so ends the story of Margie. And for their excellent performances, our thanks to Jean Crane and Glenn Langan, who returned to the footlights for a bow. Jean, since your last appearance on this stage, your chief production has been Young Paul Jr. All our heartiest congratulations.
Oh, thanks, Mr. Keeley.
Is it your first baby, Jean?
Oh, yes, of course. Why?
Well, well, things the way they are now, it's a wonder you can get a new one without turning in the old one.
I suppose that young man keeps you pretty busy, Jean.
Oh, I should say he does. With bottles to sterilize and formulas to mix, I never get a chance to do much else.
Oh, Jeannie, it's a shame to blame that on the baby.
Oh, we're used to pinning things on the baby.
I can well imagine.
But seriously, it is. It's the first house of my own I've ever had, and I'm really crazy about it. It hasn't a single floor.
No floor? What do you walk on?
Oh, Glenn. Well, it sounds as if Jean were walking on air these days. A new home, a new baby. Do you do your own housekeeping, Jean?
I do the cooking, Mr. Keeley. Come up sometime and I'll serve you both a meal.
Speaking of cooking, what are you serving up next week on Lux, Mr. Keeley?
Well, next Monday night, we bring our audience a thrilling, romantic, and suspenseful drama. J. Arthur Rank's production, The Seventh Veil. And our stars are two great favorites of this theater, Joseph Cotten and Ida Lupino. The story of a talented and lovely woman in the shadow of a strange spell, The Seventh Veil is a tempestuous drama of love and emotion building to a startling climax.
Oh, that ought to make a great play for your listeners, Mr. Keeley. Good night.
Good night, and all our thanks for Margie. Lever Brothers Company, the makers of Lux Toilet Soap, join me in inviting you to be with us again next Monday evening, when the Lux Radio Theater presents Joseph Cotten and Ida Lupino in The Seventh Veil. This is William Keeley saying goodnight to you from Hollywood.
Jean Crane and Glenn Langan appeared by arrangement with 20th Century Fox, producers of Nightmare Alley and Kiss of Death. Barbara Lawrence will soon be seen in the 20th Century Fox production, Captain from Castile. Heard in our cast tonight were Bill Johnstone as Macduff, Gil Stratton Jr. as Roy, and Clark Gordon, Francis Robinson, Mary Lou Harrington, Lillian Randolph, William Roy, and Julie Bennett. Our music was directed by Louis Silvers. This program is rebroadcast to our servicemen and women overseas through the worldwide facilities of the Armed Forces Radio Service. And this is your announcer, John Milton Kennedy, reminding you to join us again next Monday night to hear Seventh Veil with Joseph Cotten and Ida Lupino. Be sure to listen next Monday night to the Lux Radio Theater presentation of Seventh Veil with Joseph Cotten and Ida Lupino. Stay tuned for My Friend Irma, which follows immediately over most of these stations. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Join me, BC, host of The Other Side, every Tuesday afternoon from 1 to 3 p.m. You'll hear great alternative, independent, and local rock and roll, mixed in with deep cuts from classic artists. I hope to see you on The Other Side this Tuesday at 1 p.m., only on WHFR Dearborn, the station that is making waves.
Earn your Associate in Applied Science degree with Henry Ford College's Computer Information Systems Network Administration Program. This program covers a wide range of topics within the computer networking and system administration fields and prepares students for a number of industry certification exams. HFC also has transfer agreements with several four-year universities toward your completion of a bachelor degree. For more information on this or any other area of study, visit hfcc.edu today.
Adopt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the Lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the US Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt US Kids, and the Ad Council.
All right, well, that's going to pretty much wrap it for today's Radio Vault program. Of course, we'll do it again in another week. We're going to make way for The Other Side with your friend Brian, waiting in the wings, and he'll be with you in scant moments. Have yourself a good one. We'll talk to you on Sunday Night Mysteries. See ya. Kansas City. Kansas City, here I come. They got some crazy little women back. You know I'm gonna get me one. I said Kansas City. Kansas City, here I come.
Broadcasting from the campus of Henry Ford College, this is WHFR Dearborn. Listener-supported, non-commercial radio.